And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. Today, folks, is not Monday. It's Wednesday, January 2nd, 2013. That's 2013. Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Doug Hagman. I'm the co-host with my son, Joe Hagman. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of uncensored, unbiased, and uncomfortable news analysis, information that you need to know. We're going to walk you through this news, the headlines. Folks, we broadcast each and every weeknight live from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the internet via HomelineSecurityUS.com, and also we simulcast on the Christians United Broadcasting Network. If you haven't visited our website at HomelineSecurityUS.com here in the last couple of days, I request that you do so, and we'll get a message, Happy New Year message there for you, and also some information about where we were. Yeah, about where we were. Joe, welcome, by the way, to the
Glad to be here. Couldn't wait to jump on and say something after an absence of a long time. It feels like it's been forever.
You actually took some time off, whereas I, on the other hand,
you organized some bookshelves. No.
No, I organized.
You did a good job of getting the studio together. This year is going to be an excellent year. We're going to have Keith Hansen tonight.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a lot of things, gun control being the number one thing.
You with Keith, yeah.
Yeah, and tomorrow night we're going to have Stan Dale on. My father and I will both be on video with Stan for the whole show.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night immensely because I've got a list of questions. If you've read Stan Dale's book, Cosmic Conspiracy, it gets into a lot, and I mean a lot of really heavy information. I would really recommend it. And I've got some pretty heavy-duty questions to ask Stan. So, if you want to, you can send me an email with your questions for Stan, and I'll get those questions to him as well. Sometimes that's the easiest way to do it. It's the most expedient way and the most coherent way. And he also has the time to prepare and kind of sense a direction of where we can go. But Keith Hansen tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you're unfamiliar with Keith Hansen, he's a good friend of the show.
He's a radio show host.
And that's right out of Naples, Florida. He is a former law enforcement official. It links to his website on Naples.
Keith on the air.
Yeah.
.com.
Well, it's the if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, you can click on the link there, and it'll take you to his website. Also, his Facebook page. Definitely like him on Facebook or follow him or like him or be friends with him or whatever the terminology might be, only because like-minded individuals, we need to stick together. We are no longer in a beta test situation. I've got to tell you right now, I'm convinced after this weekend, after talking with new, I'll tell you what, I've talked to a number of people in and out of law enforcement, in and out of Department of Homeland Security, and I'm going to tell you folks something, right? To any of my detractors out there who are saying, well, you know, you're a little bit whacked out, your information is incorrect, your informant is made up, you're hearing voices in your head, you went off the rails, you're a conspiracy theorist, whatever. Well, let me tell you something. It won't be long before you completely understand where this country is headed. We are no longer in a beta test situation. This is actually taking place. We are the targets. It's not our firearms. Certainly, it's our firearms. But we, the people of this country, are the targets. Mm-hmm. Our lifeblood, in terms of ours, which we have receipts for, in terms of Federal Reserve notes, That's what they're after. They're after our lifeblood, our legacy, and that of our children and our children's children. They want to own us. They want to own the future. That is their objective. And if we get in the way, we won't be in the way long. That's what they want. These people are hardcore socialists. They're hardcore communists, and they need to be tried for treason. Every damn one of them.
Now,
everyone.
Can we all put them under the same category? I mean, we have so much legislation these so-called lawmakers have pushed through in the last year. We'll just go back to the NDAA last year, to the what they did just over the weekend.
You vote for the NDAA, try them for treason. You vote for this inane fiscal cliff legislation, you should be tried for treason. You bring up infringement on any of the constitutional amendments, you should be tried for treason. In fact, if your lips move in Washington inside the Beltway, you should be tried for treason. You know, and if you can't see that, if there are people out there today who are hanging on to this right-left Republican-Democrat crap, now what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? If you're talking about 2014, or you're Republican, oh, we're going to win. We're going to win back to the House. Oh, yeah. What's wrong with you? What in the hell is wrong with you?
And we got a little echo. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but I think Keith is with us.
I don't know.
Let's see. But you're right.
Look, you know, at this point...
Did you see what was in this stimulus bill or in this fiscal cliff bill? They didn't do anything but add $4 trillion to the deficit, giving money to people from... I saw algae grow $59 million.
Cliff. It's not about
right.
that.
Right. And what we talked about. Everything is destroyed by design. They're not planning to save the economy. They want to implode it.
No,
this is the way they're doing
it. That's exactly right. Exactly right. It, the words of Barack Hussein Obama. Understand that name, Barack Hussein Obama. Chris Matthews, if I'm a racist, and there's no tingle up your leg when you hear me talk, well, I'm sorry. But look, 39.6% of Americans making, I'm sorry, the tax rate's going up to 40%, basically, for anyone making over $450,000. And you might think, well, so what? Okay, I'll never see 450. Look, it's business. You understand, it's about business. It's about the people that run this country. But, yes, worse than that, because they're taking this country and they are systematically destroying this country. That's their intent, is to destroy this country.
77.1% of the U.S. households will be seeing this tax increase, more than 80% of households with incomes between $50,000 and $200,000.
And as you pointed out, $3.9 trillion are added to the spending.
And $1.
In what plan
$1,
is that saying?
$1 for every $41 are cuts. That's what
right.
they just did. So they didn't add they didn't do a fiscal cliff, you know.
Okay, so all you keep
talking about is stimulus. Another stimulus.
Right, exactly. Basically, they did. So for all you Tea Party people out there, congratulations.
Now, I want welfare
me?
Checks because I think we're due. I'm just kidding. Keith, let's see if Keith's on. Mr. Hanson.
Good evening.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hey, not too bad. I was actually just logging in here, and I noticed that this is the I forgot you weren't live last night, so this is the first Hagman & Hagman show of 2013.
Yes, and we're very pleased to have you on with us. Folks, in case you don't know this gentleman, this is Keith Hanson, one of the most lethal men in the country.
Oh, please.
I've seen him in action. And
I've showered recently, trust me.
Keith Hanson is a great friend of the show. He's a former law enforcement officer. He's a current talk show host out of Naples, Florida. I was fortunate enough to be on his program this past Saturday. God bless him for having me on. He does a great job. He has an hour show every Saturday from noon to 1 o'clock.
And we had the pleasure of meeting him not too long ago.
Yeah.
And at a gun class he trained us with, and he's excellent excellent trainer in handguns.
But you know, here's the thing, Joe. I had no idea that part of the training was to be able to run as he's shooting at you. I did not know that was part of it.
Yeah, well,
hey, you can dodge him though. You did very well.
I shouldn't even joke about that. We got so much to get into, and I want to wish you, Keith, a very happy New Year, and I hope your Christmas and New Year was well, and you and yours are doing well. And we had the pleasure to talk off air last night, and
mm-hmm.
We covered some ground last night, and I don't know, Keith. Today, Joe was in the studio. We were sitting here talking, and I just don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, we got so much news coming out at us all at once. Even having to go back, we have old news that we still need to dissect. But
well, let's talk about the gun issue.
Yeah, we got the gun.
Well, let's talk. You, me, and Joe. Let's have some conversation here about what the heck's going on with this gun stuff, with this gun ban talk.
Well, where do you want to start on this? I mean, it's so comprehensive. I talked to you last night. This is not about guns. And I'm getting a lot of greetings here on your chat board, and unfortunately for some reason it's not letting me log in. So I just want to acknowledge everybody that's sending a hello there. Everybody that's listening, this is not about guns. This has nothing to do with guns. This has everything to do with, really, two things. Number one, an unprecedented show of power by the government. And I almost said the word federal government. I hate to refer to the government that we have today as a federal government, because it is so far away from the federalist design that our founding fathers had for our nation. We're not a federalist system. We're a national government. And I think we should really get into the habit of calling it exactly what they are. So, this is not about guns. This is about an unprecedented power display by the national government. See, we as citizens, we have this notion that we send representatives to Capitol Hill to be stewards, that we elect people, in essence, we hire them to go to Washington and to write and pass laws that preserve and protect our best interests.
Right.
That's not the case. That's not the case at all. We believe in the Constitution that says any powers not given to the federal government by the Constitution are reserved for the states and the people therein. We believe in that. But you see, the people in power, they don't believe in that. Because now that we've given them, or in their perception, we've given them the power. Now it's all about them saying, you know, this false notion, this ridiculous concept, this insidious notion that somehow, some way, the government is supposed to be afraid of the people. Well, we're going to show you exactly the way that it is. We're going to take your guns away. Because you seem to think that the Second Amendment is the one right that guarantees the existence of all others. And we're going to show you just how wrong you are. That's the first thing. The second thing is fulfillment of Cloward and Piven. And you and I have talked about this, and I'm sure that the majority of your listeners understand or at least know or have heard of Cloward and Piven. But Cloward and Piven is an economic strategy that was developed by, I believe it was, two Columbia economists. Frances Fox Piven, who still shows her gnarly little face in politics today, and I believe her now deceased husband, and I can't remember what his first name was, but his last name was Cloward. These were radical socialist economists who developed a system to collapse the economy of the United States by overloading it through, in essence, unfunded liabilities, through welfare, through food stamps, everything else. We're going to overload the system. We are going to put such an economic burden on this system that it can no longer support its own weight, and it collapses. And as throughout history has shown us, when you have a collapse, it's an opportunity to usher in something else that probably was not possible prior to that collapse. And think about this, because this is an angle that I don't hear anybody else talking about, but I think they need to focus on it. The firearms industry in this country, conservatively, is about an $18 billion a year industry. Think about how many businesses, okay, would be affected by the ban of firearms. Ammunition manufacturers, that would be out of business. Retail stores, that would be out of business. Gun ranges, instructors, manufacturers of ancillary products, owners of web-based businesses that sell ammunition and ancillary products, add-ons. There are, and ever since 2004, with the expiration of the Clinton assault weapons ban, you've got just, I mean, countless numbers of businesses that exist solely in selling accessories for the AR-15 platforms and the AK-47 platforms. So imagine now all of these people no longer able to engage in legitimate commerce. Where do they go? Right to the government teat, which is where Barack wants them. Because once they're at the government teat, well, we have a whole bunch of people who are now on the government dole. We now have more unfunded liability that gets added to the pot, which is an only in furtherance of the ultimate goal, which is to collapse the economy of the United States from the inside. That's my theory in a nutshell. And you know something? I don't think – and you know what? If one more person says I'm a right-wing conspiracy theorist, they're going to have an issue. Because it's not about being a right-wing conspiracy theorist. This is fact, folks. Look it up. How about being or not being ignorant? Because the people that go out and say, ah, this is just right-wing hyperbole, conspiracy theory, nut, okay? These are the people that have their head lodged so far up, as Norm used to say on Cheers, so far up to Klavan, they can't tell daily.
You know, from your show and from the articles I've written recently, I've gotten so many emails telling me to do something physically impossible to myself, basically. That it's amazing the divide that's in this country. It's evident that this country has never been this divided in its history, recent history anyway. I shouldn't say history, but in its recent history.
Lisa,
the Civil War. Yeah, and it's by design. Don't you feel that way? I mean, the divide is by design.
Absolutely, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And we talked about this on my show on Saturday. We are divided racially, black versus white. We are divided religiously, okay? Jews versus Christians, Muslims versus the rest of the world. We are divided sexually, male versus female, and gay and straight. We are divided on every socioeconomic demographic you could possibly imagine. Because here's the thing. This is bread and circus. This is,
right.
is very simply, we distract people's attention from what's really going on, and we focus their attention on these petty little BS arguments that really, in the grand scheme of things, mean nothing. Because all it does is take their attention away from what's really going on, which is the systematic dismantling of our union from the inside by usurpers. And I'll tell you something. Do you remember the images of Mussolini after World War II? They hung
yeah.
Mussolini by his ankles from a gas station. You know something? I'm going to love it when I get to see Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein's going to look great dangling from her ankles. Because that's
yeah.
what needs to happen.
She's been calling
people,
for...
These people are beyond treasonous scumbags.
We're at war, Keith. I mean, there's no other way of looking at it. They've brought the war to us. By the way, I don't know whether you saw this, but the Illinois president of the Senate, state senate of Illinois now, is calling for, during this lame duck session.
The state senate.
The president of the state senate.
They're trying to pass a gun ban right now.
Have it signed by Friday by the governor, where they would criminalize
if you own a gun,
everything.
And you don't turn it in, you're automatically
in Illinois.
Yep. Well, it's funny because there's just I believe it was 7th District court ruling that said that Illinois had 180 days, this was a month ago now, but it was 180 days to turn around and develop a comprehensive concealed weapons program. And that it was likely, because it was Judge Posner that actually handed down the majority ruling, that it was not going to be taken up on certiorari by the Supreme Court. So
what does that
I mean,
mean,
what about this? I mean, we have – what does it mean? It means that
– Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Expand on that for people who don't realize that, that there was this issue with Illinois. What exactly, were they just trying to short-circuit the system?
Well, I mean, we have, you know, we don't have a Supreme Court ruling in that, but we have a Supreme Court ruling in D.C. versus Heller. And D.C. versus Heller, which was, you know, the Supreme Court ruling that came out, what was it, in 2010, you know, and of course, you know, the gun rights people were celebrating this Supreme Court ruling. And basically what it did is it said that the Second Amendment does hold that private citizens have the right to keep and carry handguns for the purposes of self-defense. And, of course, everybody was, oh, this is great. You know, the Supreme Court is finally constitutional. They're recognizing the rights. Yeah, but look at the ruling. It was a 5-4 ruling.
Right.
If one of those justices had voted the other way, it would have been a ruling that the Second Amendment did not protect individual rights to carry handguns for self-defense.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we're teetering on this fine line in this country of losing these rights. And make no mistake about it. The Second Amendment is the one right that guarantees the existence of all others, because it's pretty damn hard to go in and establish tyranny against an armed people. That's why tyrants throughout history, especially throughout the 20th century, the first thing that they do is they disarm, they take the guns, and they take the gold. Why? Because an armed population can stand up and say, uh-uh, not today.
That's right. No, you've got that right. And, you know, Keith, I really think that, I think now as you and I spoke off air, and it just amazes me that we are at this juncture right now where we are. I was at a gun show on Saturday just to see what was going on. There are lines of people around tables 3 and 4 deep, but there was nothing to buy.
Mm-hmm.
There were no guns. Sure, there were pistols, but no ammunition, no guns, no long guns, mm-hmm. no semi-automatic rifles to buy. And asking the people, asking the vendors, when will they come in? And they said, we don't know. They may never come in. I mean, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And talking with the people there, specifically for the reason of finding out what the purpose was, they're saying, look, we know something is about ready to happen. We know things are going to get bad. These people are buying these guns for the eventuality of something bad, not for the possible banning of the weapons to have in case of a pre-ban purchase. No, they can sense something is coming. So the fight is being brought to us. Is this not the plan of this regime that's in power? To close the deal, so to speak?
Well, I talk to a lot of people. You know that I teach I teach for a couple of government agencies, and I teach private security contractors, federal security contractors. And I've talked to a lot of people, and I know you have your sources inside. I have my sources inside. I think for me personally, this is what I see happening, and this is just one man's opinion. I see them trying to pass this bill. I don't see it going anywhere. I think there's a lot of people that still think that Dianne Feinstein is a little bit too radical for her own party. Somebody actually said that to me. A good friend of mine said that. Rocco was my co-instructor, if
right.
you remember that up there.
Sure.
And I was talking with him about it as well, too, because he works with DHS as well. And, he said, I think there's a lot of people that think that Dianne Feinstein is a little too radical for her own party. And I would say, that probably is correct. I personally don't see the gun bill going anywhere. I think that they're going to go back and forth about it. I don't think it's really going to. I don't think it's going to pass. I don't think it's going to get a lot of action in the House. I don't think it's going to get a lot of action in the Senate. I think that Obama is ultimately, and again, this is just my opinion, but I would expect that Obama would then turn around, sign it into law via executive order, issue a 90-day amnesty/buyback period, which is exactly what they did in California. And remember how this worked. It started out with a registration. Okay. All we want to do is know where they are. And then what happened? California gives out its 21 or 22 firearms, including, something as simple as an M1 Garand. Can't own them anymore. They wound up having a government buyback program where it was pennies on the dollar. And then what happened? They outright banned them. okay? So I would see something like that, 90 days amnesty period and a buyback period on a pennies on the dollar kind of plan, and then just an outright criminalization. If you're in possession of anything, it's going to become a federal felony, similar as if you had a short barrel rifle that wasn't properly registered via an NFA tax stamp or through the NFA, National Firearms Act.
Now, look, Keith, I think people are with you to this point, okay? Because I agree. I think it's going to be done by executive order. If you listen to the words of Obama yesterday about the fiscal cliff, he's not going to have any more discussion about the fiscal matters with Congress. So he's going to act unilaterally.
It's passed on the buck till February.
Okay. Right. So template.
Speaking of our dear leader, where the hell is he right now?
Yeah, he forgot
to
sign.
He's back to Hawaii on another $7 million vacation.
Yeah, forgot to sign. Oh, he got to sign the fiscal cliff thing. He said he's going to do it by the auto pen because he went back so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I was supposed to be in Hawaii this no, I wasn't. Never mind. That's not me. well, okay, we're up with you to this point. Now, let's say this does happen, and I believe it will, and I believe that it's beyond it. It's a done deal. So we've got this order out there. You got so many days to turn in your weapons. That's where it stands. And let's turn our clocks ahead to March 1st. And here it is, March 1st, 2013. And we have the next beginning today, March 1st, 2013. We've got 90 days to turn in your weapons. You have 30 or however many days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you see taking place at this point, or even before this point, if it's relevant? But what do you see taking place from this point forward?
That's open for discussion and open for debate. I would like to think at this point that there's going to be a lot of resistance, that people are going to stand up and resist. I'm looking at the notes here, on your chat board here. People, civil war, if they try to take the guns, stand up. Listen, here's the bottom line. There's a lot of people out there that say, "From my cold, dead hands." I hope you understand what the magnitude of those words actually mean, because there's a lot of people that utter those words, and they're very quick to stand up and extol how tough they're going to be when this happens. But when there's a 7-man team at your door, okay, and your choice is, if you engage those 7 people at your front door, you know what the outcome is going to be. It's going to be death, okay? You either need to be one hell of a shot and be able to take 7 people out. Otherwise, those 7 people are going to engage you until you, the threat, are neutralized. That's how it works. So you have to ask yourselves, it's very easy to sit behind a computer and act tough. And that's not to insult anybody. This is more or less to kind of wake people up and say, listen, understand exactly what it is that you are claiming you're willing to do. But now fast forward to when it's actually taking place. Are you actually convicted to the point where you are going to stand up and actually die rather than give up your guns? Now here's the thing. I served for a period of time. I served for about a year and a half as the Florida State Chapter Vice President for Oath Keepers, and then I went on to serve as the State Chapter President for Oath Keepers. I believe wholeheartedly in the Oath Keepers mission. I believe in what Oath Keepers stands for, and again, Oath Keepers is a educational organization. Southern Poverty Law Center and Mark Poddock likes to say that Oath Keepers is the most dangerous right-wing militia group in the history of right-wing militia groups. Well, you know what? Absolutely not, because it's not a militia group. It's not a political group. It's not a PAC. Oath Keepers is an educational organization that seeks to reach, teach, and inspire currently serving and retired military and law enforcement about the oath that they took to the Constitution and their duty to enforce it. Now, this is where I would hope that the majority of people who are either sworn in the military or sworn law enforcement officers would understand that they have a duty to disobey an unlawful order and to protect the rights of citizens. You and I have talked about this. Law enforcement has no individual duty to protect citizens. The only legally mandated obligation that law enforcement has to citizens is to protect their constitutional rights when a law enforcement officer is engaged with them, and to provide protective services as a whole to a community. Okay? So, just to summarize that, or to put it in different words, law enforcement has a legal obligation to protect society as a whole. Okay, and that's why law enforcement does patrols and law enforcement does speed traps and all that. Okay, they have no individual duty, or more appropriately, they don't have a duty to protect an individual from harm befalling them from a private act.
All right.
Okay, secondly, they have a duty legally to preserve and protect the constitutional rights of individuals that they encounter when they're doing or working in their capacity as law enforcement. That's it.
That's a pretty narrow job description, if you will.
Well, I mean, among other things, but I mean, from a legal protection standpoint, that's their obligation, and those are from two Supreme Court rulings. And I'm going to hack these up because I'm pulling this off the top of my head. But Harris versus District of Columbia and McElshaney, I think, versus Winnebago County Board of Public Supervisors. Again, I'm hacking that up, but it's something pretty close to that. Again, I don't have my notes here in front of me.
All right.
But the point being is that, you know, this is what the Supreme Court has said the obligation is to law enforcement. Now, when we talk about this from an Oath Keeper standpoint, if you have served in the military, you understand what the Uniform Code of Military Justice is. Trust me, that was probably what you spent your first 72 hours in boot camp learning. Going step by step, word for word, line for line through the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ, learning everything that was contained in the UCMJ. In the UCMJ, it is mandated that any member of the armed services disobey a law. They have a legal and a moral obligation to disobey an unlawful order.
Okay.
Law enforcement officers who have not served in the military probably have no concept of what the UCMJ is, or this concept that I now have this legal, moral, ethical obligation to disobey an unlawful order. So I think, and again, the military, we have posse comitatus, which in theory is supposed to protect us from American soldiers being used operationally on American soil.
Do we still have that protection?
We're supposed to.
Because I'm not sure. I remember George Bush. I don't even know if it was George Bush.
There was an article that was written in the 80s that argued against or stated that we didn't have that based on the multiple rulings by the Supreme Court.
And through different, we saw Katrina and all these different things take place. I don't think this is in on the books anymore, or at least they don't act like that.
Not practically operational, is I think it was the terminology used from the article. But I understand what you're saying. But Keith, I guess my question is, if there is confiscation to take place, will there be compliance by law enforcement? Will there be compliance by?
I don't know. I mean, it's impossible to answer that. Sheriff Richard Mack, I'm sure that some of your listeners have heard of Sheriff Richard Mack. He is on the National Board for Oath Keepers. As a matter of fact, Sheriff Mack is going to be my guest on the show coming up on Saturday. Sheriff Mack, for the past couple of years, and for those of you who don't know who Sheriff Mack is, he, along with a fellow sheriff, sued the federal government, actually sued the Clinton administration, to block certain aspects of the Brady Bill.
Right.
And so, I mean, he gained national notoriety as a result of that. He has, over the past couple of years, been touring the country doing a program called the Constitutional Sheriff for sheriffs. And of course, you know, there's a lot of people that look at the role of the sheriff and say that the sheriff really is the last line of defense against tyranny in this country, because the sheriff is the politician, the law enforcement officer that is truly by, of, and for the people. Okay, the sheriff is always elected. So the sheriff, you know, if if a federal government or federal troops were to come into a county to try to enact or promulgate or enforce any type of legislation that violated the constitutional rights of the citizens of that county, that sheriff has a legal and a moral and an ethical obligation to protect the citizens of his or her county.
Right.
And there are a lot of constitutional sheriffs out there. I think Joe Arpaio is probably, you know, one of the first people that comes to mind. Joe doesn't care what the federal government says. Joe's going to do what's in the best interest of his residents, of his constituents, and the citizens of his county. And then you have other counties that are absolutely garbage. You know, that they have no concept of what the Constitution is about. They could care less. It's a political position. It's a position that comes that has great power. There's a lot of money involved with it. So, you know, there's a lot of people that look at it as a springboard to larger, greater political aspirations. So,
well,
really,
okay.
I mean, I think everybody who's out there who's listening, I think you need to look at your own county sheriff and say, you know, what do you know about your sheriff? What would your sheriff do? Now, the sheriff of Jefferson Parish during Louisiana, during Hurricane Katrina, when FEMA went in and cut communication lines because Fox News was televising, you know, some pretty heinous stuff that was going on. So FEMA went in and took chainsaws to the communication lines. So the sheriff of Jefferson Parish reestablished those communication lines and then put his SWAT teams around the communication center. And with orders to shoot to kill anybody that breached that perimeter.
Nice.
Okay, that's a constitutional sheriff.
Yeah, and I think we were talking off air last night. You said, to put it in perspective, there are like 200 county sheriffs across the United States that you're pretty familiar with in terms of being on the same page as those keepers might be. Is that a fair assessment that you know of, I guess, I think is how you put it?
Sheriff Mack has been able to reach out to approximately about 200 sheriffs across the country. Now,
okay.
I mean, 200 sheriffs across the country, that is a drop in the bucket. I mean, I'm in Florida. We've got 67 counties alone here in Florida. Okay, so when you think 200 sheriffs across the country, that, you know, those aren't positive numbers. I'm just reading in your chat board here. Tim L.T. Byrd asked, so who are the guys going around confiscating weapons after Katrina? A lot of those were private security officers. In fact, if you watch some of the videos, you'll actually see some California Highway Patrol arm patches in there. They were bringing people in from all over the place. What was left of the New Orleans Police Department, they were going door-to-door, boat-to-boat, car-to-car. You know, you had law enforcement officers and private contract security from other areas of Louisiana and from other states that were going in. That were actually conducting these confiscations. You know,
the ones who were looting, by the way.
Yeah, high and dry air.
But, I mean, this is one of the things that really makes me, and I hate to say this, but it kind of makes me lose faith in a lot of these you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hands people. Because I can't think of anybody more than Southerners that love their guns. I can't think of, you know, I could just think of all those good old boys in Nolens, you know, who had said, you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hand. Yet how many shots were fired in resistance during an illegal, unconstitutional gun ban or unconstitutional gun seizure? None. What happened?
No.
People with a look of incredulity, with their jaw dropped, you know, what the hell is going on, handed over their guns to these people and then said, you think we can get a receipt?
And there are YouTube videos out there depicting just that.
Slamming old ladies on their kitchen floor.
Yeah.
Taking that little revolver out of her hands.
Now again, you got somebody in your chat board here, Warrior Shepherd. Keith, the ones who left so I can pull it up here.
We're smart.
The ones who are smart were the ones that left. You can look at that one of two ways. Yes, the people who were smart left, but what about the people who knew? Because there were three categories of people that stayed behind during Katrina. You had people who, number one, couldn't leave because of either, you know, infirmity or sickness or logistics. They couldn't get out. You had people who stayed around specifically so that they could engage in criminal behavior. And we saw this during Hurricane Sandy up in New York. The Twitter feeds were ablaze with people. Yo, I can't wait until this hurricane hits, dog. I'm going to go looting. Okay, so you've got a criminal element now that is looking forward to an opportunity to go out and engage in this kind of behavior. So I think the people that stayed behind were one of three categories. Either the people who stayed behind because they couldn't leave, you had the criminal element, or you had the people who stayed behind because they wanted to protect their businesses and they wanted to protect their homes from the people that they knew were going to stay behind to try to take advantage of the situation.
And what happened? You had the law enforcement officials
come in
and disarm those people that were doing nothing but minding their own business.
Well,
correct.
Right.
And I want to ask you, Keith, I don't know how long it's been since we met up. It's been a couple months for sure. Your thoughts back then on how fast this could move, I don't even know if you were thinking that this would happen as fast as it did or if it even was possible. And I don't even remember if we talked about it, but...
No, I don't think we did because I think back then, you know, we were still in the as a matter of fact, when I was up there, it was in the
latter part of September, I believe.
Latter part of September, beginning of October. So we had, I think, the first debate was still yet to come. In fact, I had left Erie, and I was out in Bethlehem and Allentown for the first debate. So the first debate hadn't even taken place yet. I found it very curious that up until that point, Obama and his administration really had not focused a lot of attention or energy on the gun control issue. I felt that it was something that would definitely come up again if he did manage to steal himself a second election, which he did. He certainly alluded to it during the second debate, that he felt that there needed to be a reinstitution of the Clinton-style assault weapons ban, but that more specifically, people in his hometown of Chicago were dying not by these, these assault weapons, but they were dying because of the these cheap handguns, as he put it. Okay, so you know, and now it's, and again, Doug, you and I have had a number of conversations off the air about you know how far do we go with the types of topics that people would say are conspiracy theorists.
I love it because perfect segue. Go ahead and continue because this is going to come up next. Go ahead.
I do not believe that there are any coincidences in politics anymore. I think Rahm Emanuel really showed an angle that he probably didn't want to show so much when he said, never let a crisis go to waste. A crisis is an opportunity to do things that you couldn't normally do. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, you know, I mean, we haven't even had the beginning of the second term yet. Okay? And we have a politically expedient shooting. That within 24 hours, Dianne Feinstein, wham, this woman's got her gun legislation out, and they're raring to go. And we're not even into the second term yet, and already, you know, this has become the hot-button topic. So, you know, I don't know. I'm surprised that it took this, that it happened in such short order. But listen, these people want your guns. And again, it's not – I shouldn't say it's not about gun control. It's not about gun control. It's not about your guns. Yes, if they can get the guns away, it makes things a lot easier. But again, I think it's so much more all-encompassing than that. I think it's the unprecedented show of power to the American people of who these people really think is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking at Facebook, and I'm getting all these emails from all these people. Oh, we got to write our congressmen. Oh, we got to write our senators. Oh, we got to march on the steps of Capitol.
Too late.
Really? Let me ask you a question, okay? How far did that get you during Obamacare? Because it seems as though all of these senators and all of these congressmen went back home during their vacation times, and they wound up I'm sorry, I just got distracted because I was reading a message on your chat board here. Runner, ask me that in a couple of minutes about the Hillsborough County Sheriff. I'll talk to you about that in a second. But I don't know. I'm really surprised that it's happened as quickly as it has.
I think we are beyond the point. Anyone who, and I opened the show angry, an angry man, and I probably should not have been as angry as I was initially because We are beyond the point of
no
return.
No. Stop. Why are you apologizing for being pissed off? Why are you apologizing for being upset, being angry, being enraged, being furious at watching the country that you love getting flushed down the toilet? Don't apologize for that. Get more pissed off.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose my delivery is lacking, however. And but that said, I have a problem here with the way things are going. And you and I spoke, again, we spoke off air. And what is really what was once black is now white, and white black, and upside down is right side up. Marriage has not been reinforced but redefined. It's okay to take your guns, and it's okay to kill babies, but certainly it's not okay to defend yourself. I mean, there's so many things wrong right now. And of course, we've got wholesale theft among the international banks and what have you. And one of the most grounded people I know, you're definitely among the most grounded people I know, but you said something that kind of caught my attention. You said to me, you know, there's just something not right about Sandy Hook. And you didn't commit to anything, obviously, but you just had this intuitive feeling, and I trust your instincts because I know your instincts. I mean, I've seen it. What do you mean by that? What's your gut telling you about this Sandy Hook? Is it just being exploited? Or is there something else there? Or are we ever going to find the truth? Or what's going on here with Sandy Hook?
As far as the Sandy Hook thing, I'm going to tread on eggshells here because I don't want to open up a big can of worms. Like I said, I don't believe in coincidences. Do I think that there's something up with the Sandy Hook thing? Yeah, absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I do. There's information out there, and again, I don't really want to go into specifics just because I'm not ready to go into this yet. But there's an awful lot of information that's coming forth right now that makes me look at it and go, you know what? Something just really stinks. Something really stinks about this. And again, I don't put anything past this administration to try to sway the opinions of the sheep. You know, the majority of the people that are living in this country are sheep. They are brain dead. They are anesthetized to fact. And you know what? If you were to present them with fact, they're going to fluff it off as, you know, oh, that's just craziness. That's crazy talk. That's, you know, this doesn't make any sense. You're just a nut. You're just a right-wing conspiracy theorist. You're this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
Okay. I don't believe in coincidences. I think that this administration is going to use whatever it possibly can, to try to justify taking away guns from law-abiding people. And listen, I will be more than happy, and as a constitutional federalist, okay, I will be more than happy to talk to you about gun control when you, as a liberal, and I'm talking to any liberals that are out there, when you decide that you're going to take a hard look at other means of correcting the problem. And what I mean by this specifically is, okay, the alleged Sandy Hook school shooter. Nuts. Okay? This guy was bat poop. The Aurora, Colorado shooter. This guy was crazy. People knew about this guy for years and years and years about how he's nuts. Okay? Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. Nuts. Cho in the Virginia Tech shooting. Bananas. The Fort Hood shooter. It was recommended that the Fort Hood shooter be dismissed from the military because of his mental condition. Okay? So, I will be willing to talk to you about enhanced laws for guns when you are willing to take away and strip HIPAA, which prevents law enforcement agencies from conducting proper background checks that would allow a person who's mentally defective to be singled out so that they do not have access to firearms, that they do not have access to concealed weapons permits. We'll talk about that first. Because here's a perfect example of knee-jerk, feel-good legislation from the libtards, and the unintended consequences that those feel-good legislation pieces wind up producing. Oh my God, we have to protect the feelings of somebody who's nuts. I grew up in Massachusetts. We had the Northampton State Hospital. We had the Bridgewater State Hospital. We had the Munson State Hospital. And those are just the top three that I can think of. There were many, many, many throughout the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. These were places that we put people who were deemed to be unfit to walk around society. But now, because everybody's feelings have to be taken into consideration, oh my God, we can't institutionalize somebody who's dangerous. We can't institutionalize somebody who has a criminal predisposition because of a mental defect. We have to allow them to walk around in society because we have to preserve their feelings. And what is the unintended consequence of that? Now we have all of these people who are walking around in the streets who are dangerous to themselves and dangerous to law-abiding citizens. And yet, because of a feel-good piece of libtard legislation like HIPAA, these people cannot be singled out and excluded because they can lie on an application, they can lie on a federal form 4473 about their medical background, their clinical psychological background. So here's what I'll tell you. I will be willing to sit down and talk about gun control when you're willing to sit down and consider for a moment that your liberal legislation has not only has affected but directly contributed to the situation that we have in this country today.
I love it. Keith, I'm going to hit you. I know your time is valuable. Folks, you're listening to Keith Hansen. In case you don't know Keith, go to HomelandSecurityUS.com. On the right-hand side is a link to his radio show. It's 98.9 FM WGUF, Naples FM Talk. Just click on the link. Go visit his page. Of course, he's got a Facebook presence as well, linked off of HomelandSecurityUS.com. But before we...
KeithOnTheAir.com.
KeithOnTheAir.com.
Right. Yeah, you've got a Facebook page. And okay, I got a couple of questions here. I'm gonna take this out of order. Aubrey, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, wants to know, please ask Keith, if he is required to do so, would you submit or comply with the registration process in the United States to register all your firearms with the government?
Let me make this perfectly clear to anybody who is listening. I, Keith Hansen, will never, ever, ever provide any government official with any list or roster of any firearm that I own. And here is what I will tell you as a Christian who has made his peace with God. If you come to my home or my business trying to take my guns, there will be a bloodbath. I am prepared to die a free man and will not live one single second of my life as a kept citizen. Now, if you want to come and get my guns, you come and get them. Now, I guarantee you, you may wind up picking my body up off of the floor. But here's the other guarantee that I will give you. You will find me in the largest pile of spent brass you've ever seen in your life. End of story.
Well, I think you answered Jay from Des Moines, Iowa. Jay, I think that answers your question. What would you do, Keith, if someone knocked on the door demanding to see or take your guns? So there you have that answer, Jay. All right.
I can't put it any more. I can't put it any more succinctly than that. That's it.
No. And Jay wants to let me. Or Joe asked me to tell you that he will be sending an email with another question or two about your training program. Anyway, all right. Keith, do you see a point? We've seen some pretty obviously some insane things go on over the last decade. Do you see a point, Keith, where we're going to have an all-out civil war here in this country?
I hope not. I pray to God we never have that. Because, listen, violence isn't the answer. Violence is definitely not the answer. But you got to look at it and say, you know, I heard you talking about the Tea Party people before, and, you know, I was a card-carrying John Birch Society member in high school. I identified myself as a conservative Republican, even going back into high school. And I, you know, and I, and I've said this before, I voted when I was 18 years old, I voted for Ted Kennedy. Because at the point I called myself a conservative Republican, but I was really politically ignorant. And I think that I was probably, in the same boat as the majority of Americans today. They thought they knew what they were, they think that they know what they're doing. I voted for Ted Kennedy because I didn't know the other candidate, and I figured, well, Ted had been in office for so long, he's got to be doing something right. So, you know, might as well go ahead and pull the lever for him. I had my political awakening here, really right around the time that Obama was elected. You know, I spent my time and my days yelling at the TV set, and I think I went through a couple of remote controls that were shattered against the wall because I was just so infuriated by what I was seeing. And I had asked, I reached out to a friend of mine who was involved in a Tea Party group, and I had, excuse me, had to clear the throat there. I went to a Tea Party and wound up just kind of just getting up on the podium and just kind of speaking what was on my mind. And boy, little did I know the can of worms that was going to open up, because you know, suddenly now I wind up becoming being asked to sit on boards of different organizations, and you know, I get people calling me up, and you know, I wind up getting a talk radio show of all things, you know, which is something I never ever in my life ever expected to be doing. But it's great; it's therapy for me because it allows me to get what's on my mind out. It's wonderful for my fiance because I don't talk politics to her. I have my outlet through the radio show, and also through your show. So, I mean, it's a sanity break for her. But you know, my political awakening happened about four years ago. And throughout that time, I've heard the Tea Party people and the 9/12 people saying that, you know, our weapon has to be the ballot box. Our weapon has to be the ballot box. And, you know, I looked at 2010. I looked at the election of 2010 and said, okay, well, you know what? Maybe there's some hope there. And then I see the outcome of the 2012 elections, and I realize that, you know, our weapon can't be the ballot box anymore. I think we need a hard reset in this country. I really do.
I agree.
You know, and somebody in your chat room, Sabaro1776, just said this isn't about politics anymore. You know what? You're right. It's not about politics. It's not about politics. It's about a fight for survival. It's about survival of this nation. When you look at all of the men and women that have fought and died for this country, they have paid the ultimate sacrifice for this nation. And it's amazing that, you know, we have these people that use the freedoms that other people have died for to undermine our country. It blows me away. It saddens me. It breaks my heart to see what's happening in this country. I don't want to see violence. I don't want to see violence because nothing good comes out of violence.
No, not at all. And I want to share something with you, Keith. And of course, our listeners, I have a good friend who told me this, and consider this, Keith, and think about this, because I know you're a contemplative gentleman.
And just Obama, I'll let you know here real quick. I know we had mentioned about. Listen, I've got longer than 9 o'clock. If you want to keep going with this, I'm not.
I'll tell you what. We'll hold you over for the break for some phone calls, because I know some people are anxious to ask you some questions. But before the break, I just want to share this thought with you, and ladies and gentlemen, share this with you as well. I'm not sure if I've said this on air or not before. If I have, and if you've heard it, you'll hear it again. Barack Hussein Obama, as Commander-in-Chief, has chosen to run, jog, if you will, exercise, whatever you want to call it, but run in Arlington National Cemetery. He's got numerous places where he could run, but he's chosen that location to run at times. And my friend had told me that, isn't it interesting, with his pedigree, with his background, with his upbringing, and knowing the thoughts of people who've grown up in Indonesia about, you know, the soles of one's feet being an insult to others, that we have a man, a commander-in-chief, so to speak, running over the dead.
Running through the graveyard. Not on the grave.
Well, right, but essentially, if you think about that, more than what it appears? You know, is it more than what it appears? Is it the ultimate? Is it the ultimate of whatever? Of I can't even think of the word. But
yeah, is he looking at it like a here are the heroes who died, or is he looking at here's what I'm gonna continue?
No,
to ruin
he's
what
looking
you
at,
guys
the,
did
at
for
the disdain against the people who have died for this country. You know that people in the Muslim culture, by showing the soles of the feet to another person, is the ultimate, or is a slap in the face. It's customarily inexcusable to do so. And yet, you know, and to think about that in that context, where you've got this man running almost over the graves of American fallen heroes, perhaps does that show contempt of the man in the office?
I think if we're going to talk about contempt for the man in office, I think that we just look at the past 4 years. I don't think anything demonstrates his contempt for American society, American way of life, American rule of law, or the American government, our three-tiered system of government and our system of checks and balances more than what this guy has done. I mean, it's everything that he does shows contempt. It shows contempt. And it shows this attitude of superiority that I am up here and you are down there. And I know you guys need to take a break at 9 o'clock, and I want to touch on that because I want to explain, in my opinion, why I think the more that we fight this guy, the more that it validates him.
All right, yeah, Keith, hold that thought. We do have a break. In fact, we're going to take a break now. We do have an international caller. We're going to get to you as well. Folks, you're listening to our first edition Out of the Gate 2013. Hang and Hang Report, Grace, with the presence of Keith Hansen. Stay with us. Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report this Wednesday, January 2nd, 2013. Almost didn't say that right, as this is our first show back in the new year. We are glad you're with us, and we are live with special guest Keith Hansen, Keith on the air.com. You can go to our website at HomelandSecurityUS.com and find the link to his radio show, where he is out of, what, 99.8?
Naples, Florida. It's actually 98.9 FM.
WGUF. 98.9 FM, WGUF, Naples, FM Talk, in my official radio voice.
Fantastic show. We're glad to have you on, Keith, tonight. It's been fast and intense first hour.
Extremely intense. We do have Keith. We've got, before we let you even finish that last thought, we've got an international caller that wants to talk with you.
Okay.
Joe.
All right. I think this is Constance. Let's see, Constance, is this you?
Yes. Good evening, Dogen and Joe. Good evening, Mr. Hansen. I've been listening to you, and I would like to make a comment. I try to be very quick, so if in case you have other callers. I want to say is 45 years ago, I was a young girl, and I remember going to North Carolina by Greyhound bus. It was, for me, it was a magical journey, and I remember arriving in a small town where I was picked up by people in their pickup truck, their white pickup truck, and I spent the summer, you know, in the countryside with these people, and I was climbing cherry and apple and peach trees and jumping brooks and sleeping outdoors and watching all the boys and contests and riding bikes and in the country. It was, for me, 45 years ago, America was a very magical country. And later on, I went to China. Millions of Chinese people were killed by Mao. And I got a very good look at life in many areas in China. Not only where foreigners went, but where foreigners did not go. And looking at the absolute poverty, life was very, very primitive. Even today, when you get away from the tourist zones and the industrial zones, the people in China, they still live in absolute poverty and in many cases, direct holes in the ground. The people in the countryside, for example, in China, they need permits to go and to work in the cities. And if for one reason or another, the police, they stop you in communist China without a permit, you are forbidden to go back to that city. And you know, even businesses in China, there is they don't exist because behind the businesses, there are the Communist Party behind businesses. But what I find all over the world, and when I look at the map, there is a growing communism all over the world. And it's not only in Europe, but it's also in America. Obama is not, he is a product of communism, but also the people, when you find the people here in Europe and the people who are surrounded by Obama, they are also surrounded by communism. And the things that are happening in America are not due to things that are not planned. Things very, very, very carefully are planned that in the society, American society, that are planned, that are happening in America, because at the same time they are happening here. And no matter where you look, I find here all over Europe, communism is on the rise. Communism is in America. Communism is everywhere. And I don't know, it's not the fault of the American people that they are not conscious, but I find that it's a problem that due to many situations in America, due to the GMOs, due to the vaccines, due to the many problems, the people, it is very difficult to wake people up. And I find the same thing here in Europe. It's very difficult because they are used to the political situation everywhere that it's impossible. They don't believe. And everywhere, even the people that are speaking, they are for a night. Here in the European Union, they are very deep. If you look into every person in the European Union, in America, in politics, they have very, very deep, serious communist backgrounds. So So how can you convince the people, or how do you want the people to convince? It's not Obama. It's the whole of society. Obama is just a puppet in it, and I don't know the solution, because to educate the people, yes, but it's everywhere communism. So I don't know the solution that you want to do that, because we find that here in Europe, and I speak to many people in Europe, they don't want to recognize it. The EU is total communist. They are talking openly about merging with the Soviet Union. In America, the government is Marxist communist. So I don't know. And also, you find that the same things that Stalin and Hitler did is same things are happening in America. And these false flags. For example, the Sandy shooting, the previous shooting in the cinema, it is the same thing that is happening. It's the same thing that happened here in Europe with Stalin, with Hitler, and it's repeating itself. And you say, how can people not wake up? It's just,
yeah.
Yes, and so I don't know the solutions.
Let me address a part of that. The first thing is, you got to understand that, you know, this socialism, Marxism, communism is this grand experiment. But every society, every government that thinks that they can implement it, thinks that they figured out where the previous communist society got it wrong. Okay, I had a conversation.
But we know that it is false. We know that it is false, because look at Greece. Communism is on the rise in Greece. Communism is on the rise all over Europe.
How do we
face that?
Well, part of the problem is in Europe. Okay. They don't have any means of stopping it. I mean, what do they have? They have the ballot box. Okay. And
no, we don't have
the
ballot box. I'm very sorry. We have the same situation that you have in America, that we have maybe a two-party system, a three-party system, but we have a choice that is selected for us before electing. It's the same thing here in Europe. We don't have a selection.
Let me finish my thought, because what I say is, you know, you have the ballot box in theory, but you had the ballot box in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein still had elections, even though he controlled the elections. He knew what the outcome was, but he still allowed the people of the country to operate under this false pretense that they actually had some say in what was going on. The difference between America and Europe, or any other nation or any other area of the world, is the fact that the people, as long as we have firearms in our population, we have the ability to prevent this from going into a Soviet-style ism, or a Germany-styled ism, if you understand what I mean. Marxism,
yes,
socialism,
yes, I understand
communism,
very much.
It's an ism, okay? We have the ability to prevent that. The reason why we have backslid so much in this country is because we have really not known any type of political or economic strife really since the Great Depression. Even during World War II. World War II didn't hit us, with the exception of Pearl Harbor. We didn't have any issues domestically. Americans don't know what it's like to see foreign troops rolling in tanks down our main streets. We've never had
But right now you do have foreign troops in your country, and that, for me, that is, if we would have here in France, because I live in France, if we would have Soviet soldiers here in France, I would be very, very, very worried. And it is not, I don't think, for the most people of the population, it's not a question of a problem, because they don't realize the danger that they are in. And that is a great problem, because I think we realize here in Europe, some of us, not all of us, because they're still sleeping here in Europe, that once America fails, it's over for us here. It's over. We have nothing, because the only thing that's keeping us here in Europe is America. You know, America for us was once upon a time was a magical country for us. It was the only place that you could run to, only the place that you could depend on. And once that country disappears, there's no hope for us here in Europe. I mean, what can we do once America fails? So that is why we search to join our American brothers and sisters in America to try to form a coalition to fight the New World Order and the things that are coming in America. Because if America goes down, it's going to be the dinosaur effect. And here in Europe, we have never seen such horrors that will occur here in Europe.
Yeah,
Constance,
God bless you for your call.
So I will let you go. I will let maybe somebody, because, you know, we are very worried about this, because everywhere that we are seeing communism on the rise in Europe, communism on the rise in America. Everywhere it's the same people, the same names, and we are coming very, 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 very desperate, because our hope is in the American people that are able to fight this, you know, again.
Yeah.
And because if America loses this, it's going to be the end of the end for everyone here in Europe and everyone everywhere else. So thank you and good night. I let you go.
Good night. All right, thank you. And good night. Keith and folks, that was Constance from Bordeaux, France.
Yeah, and what she's pointing out is just the internationalism phase of
the globalist agenda here. And Keith, don't you see that flavor of globalism here, the European influence, you know, this glamorous European type of globalist approach here?
As I was saying before, listen, every new organization or every new administration or government that tries to implement socialism thinks that they've got it figured out. We figured out where the last time we can do this right. I had an argument with a lesbian communist, Sherry Wolf. Look this chick up. Let me tell you, it's humorous. A lesbian communist. And I asked her. I said, she's a college professor. So because she's a college professor, she's smarter than everybody else. Okay. And I said, could you please explain to me? I said, you're a lesbian and you're a communist. And she said yes, and fiercely proud of it. Okay, well, all right, that notwithstanding, could you please point out to me one communist or Marxist or fascist regime that hasn't rounded your people up and marked them for extermination first? And her response to me was, well, obviously, you just aren't smart enough to realize that this is a new socialism. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get the memo that suddenly now we've reinvented socialism to where now you are going to be a protected class. This is, it's every single attempt to implement socialism or implement communism or implement any other type of ism is predicated upon the belief that we figured out what happened in the past and now we can improve upon it. But the bottom line is this. You're looking at a small number of people that are controlling the masses. And by virtue of the fact that a small number of people are controlling the masses, a small number of people are enriching themselves on the backs of other people. That's why it never works. It always degenerates into absolute garbage corruption.
And that kind of goes with a comment that I just received from Marcus in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thanks for listening, by the way. Asking the question, how is it possible that with over 300 million Americans, we are held captive by less than 1,000 elected officials? I mean, really, you know, I mean, we've got them outnumbered. But, however, as you pointed out, well, we've got well over 51% that are captive, the so-called captive audience with respect to, you know, entitlements and dependency upon on the government. And there's another question as well that someone else, I don't recall the person who asked this question to me, messaged this question to me. What do you see, what role do you see dependency, government dependency playing in the gun confiscation? Is there a prohibition?
I absolutely think that dependency is going to be used as a manipulative tool. When you look at, and you know, it's going to seem like I'm digressing here, but there's actually a point. When you look at the supply line chains in this country, okay, we have public supermarkets down here in South Florida. Public supermarkets down here don't have warehouses attached to them. When I just turned 39, when I was, you know, 11, 12, not 11, but probably 12 or 13, I worked as a bag boy and a stock boy in my local supermarket. The truck would come once a week. We had a week to a week and a half worth of food sitting in a warehouse that was attached to the grocery store. Today, we don't have that because the trucks, because of the, you know, the advances in technology and logistics, make it possible so that way there, every single day, the truck comes in and delivers to the grocery store what it is that we need. Okay? Well, that's wonderful. But what happens if those supply chains go down? Now suddenly food and water and medical supplies get rationed. Do you mean to tell me that rationing wouldn't be used as a tool to reward those who go along with a program and to punish those who decide, you know what, for whatever moral or religious or ethical reason, I'm going to stand my ground? Okay? The people who are responsible for FEMA or any other type of government agency who's responsible for distributing the rations are going to say, you know, that's really cute, that whole little constitution thing that y'all like to do. But here's the thing. You want your kids to eat tonight? Give up the guns.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier for, and it's a lot easier for me to say that because I'm a single guy. I've got a dog and a fiance. I don't have children. Okay, but I think, and I have a good friend of mine, Jason Palmer, who is the Florida law enforcement liaison for Oath Keepers in the state, and he's going to be on my show next week as well, too, in addition to Sheriff Mack. And he and I were talking about this, and he's a law enforcement officer. He's a deputy sheriff. He's also an Oath Keeper, and he's the law enforcement liaison for the state of Florida Oath Keepers. You know, and we talked about this, and he, you know, he brings up a very interesting point. And he says, you know, it's different for you, Keith, because you don't have kids. I have kids. So now I have to think about my children not eating. I have to think about my children being without a father. And, you know, that's a really tough place for me to be. And I believe in the end, you know, Jason's a good, solid guy. I would trust him with my life, and I think that he would make ultimately the right decision. But somebody who doesn't have a grasp on constitutional issues, on moral issues, on ethical issues, think about the position that that puts somebody like that in. That's huge. Because now I have to make a decision. Do I stand my ground, or do I stand my ground and sacrifice my children, or do I sacrifice everything that I hold dear in an interest of self-preservation? And, you know, this is where I bring up the issue of people sitting, you know, the keyboard warriors and sitting behind my keyboard and I'm typing, man, you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hand. That's really easy to say because there's nothing real on the line. But are you willing to take that hardline approach when you see a SWAT team forming in your driveway and they're about to kick your door in and take your guns? You got a choice. You engage them, you die. You acquiesce, you are, maybe you're allowed to do whatever it is, but you keep your life. What are you going to choose?
That's something that I believe everybody needs to ask their creator. Keith, if we can, we sneak in one more phone call?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we got Don on hold. Don, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report with Keith Hansen.
Hi, Doug. Hello, everybody. I got an alert from my actforamerica.org. I belong to supposedly Iran has planted 5 to 10 years people in this country. I don't know what you call those when you plant people. There's a name for that.
Sleeper.
You guys probably know it.
Sleepers,
thank you.
Yes.
And it has to do with, I think the way I read the article, it has to do with if we don't lift our sanctions or if we press on, if we press on them too much, something to do with the March deadline, they will activate their sleepers or they're threatening to. Also, another question I have for the guest is they've tried all their different, as he said earlier, types of socialism, communism, well, same thing. And in this particular case, with Islam being a factor, one of the things they've never had before is a religious type of communism. And for all intents and purposes, I view Islam as communism with religion. I wonder if he could address that, because when they're taking all these guns from everybody, nobody's ever mentioned those, I don't know if you knew about the different, it's called Americas or something, or they're Islamic, they're little groups. This guy from has been buying up these little pieces of land, and they shoot out there. I mean, the one in New York.
Donna, I published a report that was actually cited by the regional Institute of I can't remember the government publication, but it's called The Muslims of America, It's headed by Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jalani. If you search that on my site, you can find the religious statement that he has against me personally.
I'm so sorry.
So sorry about that.
I'll read your article. I would like to address that issue because I don't know if anybody's ever looked at that aspect of it or if they're just there to be the Hegelian dialectic thing. I'll go now and you can answer it when I'm off. Thank you very much for taking my call. God bless.
Thank you, John. God bless. Keith, the Muslim component to this, the porous open borders, potential sleepers in this country, you see this playing out at all? I think it's
definitely a contributing factor. I mean, listen to it. I mean, when we look at the complexity of the undermining of this country, I mean, it's coming in all angles. Okay, so we get divided. You know, we get divided socially. We get divided politically. We have our borders. We have this influx of illegal Mexicans. We have this influx of Muslims that are coming into this country. I mean, listen, it's like you're in a rowboat. And you've got a little hole in your rowboat, okay? You can plug that, and you can probably continue on your journey quite happy. But when you've got 50 holes in your rowboat, no matter how much you try to plug, no matter how much you try to bail, ultimately, your fate is sealed. You're taking on water faster than you can get it, and it's not because the water's coming in so quickly. It's because there's so many breaches in the hull of your boat that you can't keep up with them all. That's where we're at. This is a concerted effort to destroy this country, okay? Whether it's through the allowing, you know, terrorists and people from nations that engage in state-sponsored terrorism to come into this country, you know, perhaps that's a part of it. You talk about communism under Islam. Well, I mean, that's basically what Sharia law is about. It's a religious communism, for lack of a better term.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this is a concerted effort, the bottom line. It doesn't fare well for this country. As far as we're talking about, you were talking earlier about Iran and Ahmadinejad. Okay? The best thing that we could ever – first of all, screw that little worm. That guy's on the United Nations panel about women's rights? Are you kidding me? All right. What we need to do is we need a leader who's actually got a pair and a spine, who's going to go over there and say, if you're going to behave like this, we're going to turn you into a glowing slag heap and we're going to turn you into an example. And then everybody else who's over there in the Middle East, look at what we did to these people. You want to screw with our citizens? You want to screw with our embassies? You want to screw with our political officials? We're going to do the same thing to you. Because there's only one thing, Doug, and I talked about this during your firearms class. There's only one thing that a criminal, there's only one thing that a terrorist, and there's only one thing that a tyrant understands, and that is brute force. We're not going to be able to negotiate with our enemies. We're not going to be able to reason with our enemies. It's like when you turn around and you try to appease the bully in your sixth grade class by giving him your lunch money. Does he go away? No. What does he do? The next day he comes back and he says, I want your lunch money and your candy bar. Because he realizes you're an easy mark. You're going to roll over, you're going to capitulate, and you're going to try to do whatever you can in self-interest to get him off of your back. It's only when you go up to that bully and you pop him in the mouth, does he go and look for somebody else? So why don't we start doing with these state-sponsored terrorism countries over in the Middle East?
Well, yeah, and my question though, Keith, I mean, or not my question, but it seems so obvious to me. We've allowed the penetration, the Balkanization of America, which to me has been an act of progress since the middle 1960s, and America has been Balkanized. I mean, it's in the process of being Balkanized for the purpose of diluting society and diluting our culture and our Judeo-Christian heritage. I mean, this is what I personally believe, and it's not a passive tactic. It's an active operational tactic that is meant to destroy us from within. So, yeah, you know, all of this together, it's pretty doggone unsettling. But in the waiting moments here before the bottom of the hour, Keith, any closing thoughts before we cut you loose? Where do you see this going? I mean, any words of wisdom, advice, hope, whatever. I mean, the floor is yours.
One thing. I'm, are we under the gun here, or can I take a little bit?
No.
You got time.
You got some time. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. What I did want to talk to is I wanted to talk about the what I brought up right before the break, which is the more that we protest, we validate. I've talked about this on my show before, and I think I might have actually brought it up on your show too, Doug. But you got to remember one thing. When people are talking about, we got to write our senators, we got to write our congressmen, we got to let them know that you know, that we resist and we don't want a gun ban. And of course, you know, I ask, well, how well did that play out during the Obamacare?
Right.
You got to remember that Obama is a narcissist. I mean, he is a DSM-4 clinically diagnosed self-aggrandizing narcissistic personality disorder sufferer. Okay, this guy can do no wrong. His flatulence has no odor. He is so much better than everybody else. Okay? All you need to do is just ask him, but also ask the people around him. And I don't know if it was Valerie Jarrett. Somebody said that, you know, Barack Obama is so smart, he's so intelligent, that the vast majority of people just can't understand his brilliance. Okay? Well, you know what? Don't insult me like that. The point being is that Obama and his handlers, Obama and his administration, they view the American people the same way that a parent would view a five-year-old child throwing a temper tantrum. Okay? Again, it's all about perspective. You know, when Obama and Biden were saying we're better off now than we were 4 years ago, and average intelligent people say, how the hell could you possibly say that? Look at the state that our country is in. Do you really mean that? Yes, they do really mean that. And here's why. You've got to look at it from their perspective. Their perspective is, we don't want a country built upon free market, capitalistic, constitutional concepts. We want a European-styled socialist system where we have a ruling class and then we have a worker class that are indentured servitude towards the ruling class. That's what we want. If you look at it from that perspective, suddenly now it's easy to understand how they could make such a hubristic statement as, we're better off than we were 4 years ago. Because in their eyes, we're closer to a European socialist-style system than we've ever been in the country. So yes, we are better off than we were 4 years ago. Again, how could the Obama administration possibly not understand how absolutely infuriated the people are about Obamacare or about a gun control issue? Because, again, you're not looking at it from the proper perspective. Look at the American people as a five-year-old child throwing a temper tantrum. Look at the Obama administration as the wise, omnipotent parent. That's how you have to look at it, and then it's easy to understand. Would you, as a parent, acquiesce? Doug and Joe, I'm going to pick on you here for a second, okay? Joe, you ever throw a temper tantrum when you were a kid?
Absolutely, many.
Let me tell you.
Did it?
Did it ever get you anywhere?
Never.
No.
Punished.
Doug, did Joe ever tell you, I hate you, Dad, or something along those lines?
Keith, he still does.
Okay.
He still does.
Okay. Well, we're talking Joe, you know, in a little roly-poly five-year-old.
All right. Yeah, of course.
Okay, but your five-year-old gets pissed off at you because you grounded him for something. So he throws a temper tantrum. I hate you, Dad. I never want to see you again, and storms up to his room. Do you suddenly now go, oh, my God, I'm such an evil parent. I'm so terrible. And then acquiesce to the child? No. You as a parent, as a mature, intelligent, responsible adult, say, you know something, Joe? I understand that you're upset right now. And I understand that right now you don't understand why I did what I did. But someday, when you're older, when you're more mature, when you have a little life wisdom, you will understand why I did what I did and understand that I did it acting in your best interest.
Sure.
This is the same conversation that's going on right now between the American people and the Obama administration. The American people, by waving their banners and their signs and gathering and having talk radio chat fests like we're doing tonight, we are nothing more than the five-year-old child throwing a temper tantrum. And the Obama administration is the wise parent who knows everything about what's best for us. So the more that we protest this guy, the more that it reaffirms that he's doing the right thing. That's
so
it.
What do we do? See, and Cheryl asked this question, and she is, I'm not sure where she's from, but she asked this question. So this is live now. So what do we do in this case? If that is the case, we cannot protest due to legitimizing. Okay, just scroll off here. What do you recommend we do?
Boy, I'll tell you, if I had that answer, Doug, I would be I'd be running for president. I would have already run for president.
Yeah.
What do we do? Well, you know what? What's really in my heart, what's really in my mind, I'm not going to say out loud. But I think you know what that involves.
I do. And folks, I think we're all on the same page in this case. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
What do I think we need to do? I think we need to wake up. I think we need to start, you know, in the words of the bumper sticker, I think we need to start questioning authority. I think, first of all, we need to start holding our elected officials accountable. The first thing that we need to do is express outrage, absolute outrage, at this fiscal cliff situation. The first thing that we need to do is we need to prepare. I think you should have your firearms, stockpile your guns, stockpile your ammunition, have your food, have your medical supplies, and most importantly, have a network of people that you can trust. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Second thing, I think you need to keep your ears to the ground. And again, there's certain things I want to say. I can't say them. You understand, I can't say them. In the interest of, you know, I'm prepared to die for my country. I'm prepared to die, but I don't want to hand an invitation over to somebody because I don't want this to happen tomorrow. Violence isn't the answer. I don't ever want to see violence in this country. I don't ever want to see fellow Americans turning against fellow Americans. We need to be united. We're being divided. We're being divided purposely because it's easier to take us down as a divided nation than it is for them to take us down as united we stand. I think at
Andy,
some point.
Okay. Go ahead.
I can't say what I want to say. But I will say this: violence isn't the answer. But here's the thing: you need to resist an unconstitutional order. Now, I want to get to this here real quick because somebody's been asking me repeatedly about Hillsborough County Sheriff. Okay. Listen, Hillsborough County Sheriff. When asked about enforcement. And this is actually from one of the oath keepers here in Florida, just sent me the quote. Since I am legally and morally bound to follow the law as defined by the Supreme Court of the United States, I freely accept any decision they pass. Okay, this guy's not a constitutionalist. So if the Supreme Court decides that the Second Amendment should be stripped, the sheriff, David Gee of Hillsborough County, Florida, will go with the decision of the Supreme Court, and he'll take your guns. So that's the answer to that question. He's not a constitutionalist. He sure as hell isn't an
okay.
Bottom line.
And it's amazing that these people get positions of power.
Questionably, in America, I mean, you know.
Well, because
it's difficult for me to wrap my brain around.
Hey, Keith, we're losing you. I don't know if your Skype connection is dropping.
Are we still there?
Almost.
There you go.
Yeah, there you are.
Okay.
Yep. Are you there? All right.
I'm here. I can hear you guys.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? Or?
Oh, yeah, we're 5x5. Yeah, it was just a momentary dip. I think it's, it was just a momentary dip in the line.
Thanks, Comcast. I appreciate. I swear, I paid my Comcast bill. I really did. But I think people need to be prepared. I think people need, and this is the best advice that I can give anybody: be prepared. Be prepared for any eventuality that comes down the pike. But here's the thing: and what do we do? Well, this is, I think, probably the easiest way to answer this question: know what you stand for. Know what you believe in, and know where your line in the sand is, and be willing to take whatever actions are necessary to protect you and your family. Nobody has the right to victimize you. Your life was given to you by God. It is precious. You only get one. You have a right to defend your life. You have a right to defend your liberty against tyranny, against those who would try to deprive you of your rights. Our founding fathers started a revolution to escape exactly what we have in Washington today. Am I saying that people should go out and start a revolution? No, because that would be irresponsible. But what I'm saying is you need to know where your line in the sand is, and that needs to be non-negotiable. You need to educate yourselves. You need to seek out people who are like-minded. Prepare. And here's one thing. Pray. Pray.
Yeah, that's the important one.
Wow.
Because without God, the motto of my school, per diem et ferrum obtinu, by God and my sword shall I prevail. Two things I would never go into battle without. My armaments, without the armor of God, and without God on my side. Pray for guidance. Pray for guidance. Pray for deliverance. Pray for Obama. But pray.
I agree 100%. It's hard to do, to pray for the enemy. I've learned how to do it and not be angry about it. It works.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Keith, those are some fantastic words. And I know what you've repressed, and responsibly so. I know that we all feel, at some level, we all feel the same way. And I think that none of us want the fight, but if it's being brought to us, what else can we do?
Well, I'm going to get wrapping up here, but I want to just close on one thing, real quick, and it is, I keep it on my desktop because I think these are words to live by. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them for heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We need a spiritual revival in this country, gentlemen. We need to return to God. We have locked God out of everything that we hold dear. We've expunged him from our families. We've expunged him from our schools. We've expunged him from our society. We've expunged him from our holidays. We need to bring him back in, because only with the power of God, with the righteousness of God, will we be able to right this course. Without it, folks, you know exactly what the outcome is going to be. We are going to go the way of every other society that has ever risen and then fallen off the map.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. I'll tell you what, I want to thank you for your generous time. You've stayed longer than you agreed to, and I want to thank you for that. People are sending me thank you emails to pass along to you.
It's been wonderful.
It's been phenomenal, and I just want to say thank you, Keith, my friend. Until next time, God bless you, and you just stay safe, my brother.
Well, thank you, Joe, Doug, both of you guys. Thank you very much for having me on, especially for the first show of the 2013 year. I really appreciate it. And to all your listeners out there, guys, just keep praying. Keep the faith. You know, do what you got to do. Your line in the sand and your prayers, and hopefully we'll see this thing through.
Indeed, anyway. We will. All right, God bless you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Keith.
All right. Thank you. Have a great night, guys. God bless everybody.
Good night. Folks, that was Keith Hansen, and I would urge everyone to go to HomelandSecurityUS.com and look, like his Facebook page. I don't know why I have a thing for that.
And you know what?
It's because I get a lot of information off of that, I think. I don't know, but it's Keith Hansen's Facebook page. Go ahead and click on like.
Yeah, also, if you're on Facebook, go to the Hagman & Hagman Report. We have our Facebook page there, also Team K9. I want to say, with Keith, that was one of the best interviews I think I've ever heard him do, not listening, you know, to all his shows, but with him on our show or us on his show or you on his show, that was great. I mean, he was really, he made a lot of excellent points.
You've got to know the guy. I mean, when you meet him and you look in his eyes and you talk with him for a little bit, and you just talk like a couple of guys, you know, there's something that comes across that there's a genuineness about him that comes across, that he's not somebody that puts on airs. He's just a normal guy like us, and he's a God fearing man, and he is a Christian, and you know, we do get angry.
Yeah,
and it does, but I got to tell you something. He's a guy that knows what he's talking about in terms of guns, gun ownership, gun possession, gun. He knows gun law. I mean,
when we took the class from him, I learned so much. I didn't think I knew a lot, but he taught me. I mean, there was nothing I knew that when I went there, you know. Everything he showed us was new to me, and from the tactics of walking around with a gun, the safety, how to figure out the applications. I mean, you have to think about the grip,
or the fact that every bullet's got the name of an attorney on it. You know?
No, but, I mean, yeah. It's a great class.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about when it comes to guns.
I think it was Jay in Iowa. Certainly, go ahead and email Keith Hansen. Just go to HomelandSecurityGhost.com, click on the link to the Keith Hansen show page. It's all up there for 2013. What a good way to start 2013. But, folks, let me pose this question to the listeners. Did you think, really, maybe in May 2012, did you really think we'd be having this conversation as the first show of 2013?
I didn't know about the first show in 2013, but I figured something would have happened by now that would either be some kind of a false flag. They were going to move on the economy. I knew that much. With Obama getting reelected, I know they're going to move to destroy the rest of this economy and move toward international law, whether that takes on guns, whether that takes on a new money exchange, whether it takes on new laws. It's going to happen. And it's not about gun control. It is about total control.
And you know, if I can say one thing, ladies and gentlemen, and please bear with me, because people, all of us, we grow at different levels, and we become aware at different times. So, I mean, I once again, a good friend, a good contact, you know, told me once, gee, Doug, if we were having this conversation 4 years ago, and he said, well, even maybe 4 months ago, we couldn't have this conversation that we're having right now in reference to something we were talking about, that if I would come out right out now and blurt out what we were talking about, it would seem like I should be, you know, carted off to the, you know, to the butterfly net. But that said, you know, when Donna talked about the sleepers in this country and about Iran, I just want to say this. Folks, understand that the globalists are funding both sides of the war.
Of course. There is controlled opposition media in this country.
Both sides.
Alternative media. Right. You have the mainstream media and their controlled opposition, which is all mainstream. Then you have the alternative media. But you do have the wolves in sheep's clothing in the alternative media.
Yes, that's correct, yes. And that's
the controlled opposition in the media. And you wrote a great write-up on the media deception.
I wrote that at 4 o'clock this morning.
Well,
you're talking about this last one?
I think so.
Yeah. I wrote that at 4 o'clock this morning. I couldn't sleep. I've been just getting up at I was up at 2 and up at 4, and not that you need to know my sleep schedule, but...
Perhaps the most formidable obstacle to overcome and to assist others to realize is that we are constantly and deliberately being lied to by the corporate media in all of its forms.
Right.
The syndicated media, journalists, commentators, panel members of news programs, and others whose faces and voices you commonly hear and recognize exist because they are permitted to exist, regardless of their political affiliation. Some have agreed to operate within certain confined areas of discussion, while others exist openly, advance the stepping stone of socialism or communism or internationalism for a seat at the table of a global governance.
That's right.
And it goes on from there, and you really break down the important parts, like how Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert come off as a popular alternative to the kids, but really are promoting the same objectives in a different way, and it's right on the money.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And that's, folks, you can comment on that article as well. at CanadaFreePress.com, CanadaFreePress.com, and which we thank for hosting a lot of our articles, and God bless them for allowing us that venue.
We've got a few minutes left before the break. I want to bring Jason and Sheila on. Jason just wants to tell a quick story about his what he went through when the authorities came for him.
Folks, listen to this. It's important.
Hey, Jason, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
God bless you guys so much, and what a fantastic show. God bless Keith. And I just wanted to come on really quick and explain. Well, first of all, I want everybody to read every single article that Doug writes, because he's a fantastic writer. And back in August, what happened to me, I jumped on your show, and I wanted people to understand what happened to me after I started a radio show. And if you go back to the August 7th, it was the very, very first thing that I ever put up on my radio show, Revelation News Radio. If you go back and listen to that, I said that I don't like guns. I went shooting. I got some firearms. I went shooting. I didn't like it. I'm a pacifist. I'm probably going to get rid of them. You know, that's what I said on that show. Because of that show, I was taken away by a 302 order here in Scranton, Pennsylvania, by the cops. And I never advocated violence, nothing. We have to understand, folks, that we've come to a point in this country that the Constitution is under constant and very aggressive attack. And there is an agenda behind it. It's a communist agenda. It's to get rid of the guns, just like Nazi Germany, just like Stalinist Russia. We're in a time right now where we have to come to grips with the fact that we have to stand up peacefully and with words of very vigorous defense of the document that founded this nation. Because if we don't do it in mass, and I'm saying peacefully, because I'm going to tell you, I was in the position to have people come to my door and take me away, okay? You might think, guys out there...
What, a 302?
Yes. Yeah, a 302 order is a mental illness order.
Involuntary.
Anybody can call, and unless it's your family, it's supposed to be...
Yeah, it was illegal. But it was completely illegal what was done to me, Joe.
Right.
But they didn't care.
Jason, let me just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, look, when this was happening to Jason, when he was relating this to me, I checked this out. I interviewed Jason independently. I verified facts. So let me tell you something. What happened to Jason in Pennsylvania under Act 302, which is an involuntary commitment, was entirely illegal, and absolutely without any doubt in my mind, after my investigation, 100% vindictive and directly related to his vocal position. Of
Amen,
of
Doug.
So,
amen.
And folks, if you're sitting back there and you're saying, well, you know, it can't happen to me, baloney. It can't happen
That's
to
right.
me because it happened. Because then if it happened to Jason, it can happen to you.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
That's right, Doug. That's what we have to understand. There is an agenda here, and it's being unfolded. I can't believe how far we've come just from August. I'm telling you, brother, it the hammer has come down, and it's going to continue to come down. And I speak from a peaceful standpoint. You know, if they came to my door and said, we want your guns, I'm not going to go down in a hail of fire, Doug. You know why? Because if people do that, they have to understand something. The New World Order agenda will use that to demonize our movement, the Christian Patriots. They are going to call us terrorists if we do that. I'm telling you, I respect the Second Amendment. I love the Second Amendment. That's why I got armed. But I'm going to tell you something. If we do this, and the people that are talking really tough, like Keith was saying tonight, I'm going to get my gun out, go out in a blaze of glory. Folks, they're going to use that against us. They're going to call us terrorists.
You know what, Jason, I agree, but I think we can outsmart them to the extent that if we get together, if we unite, and if we have them, if, for example, we mentioned Katrina tonight, in Keith of the Summer,
yes.
Katrina. If we had 5, 6 maybe people in a house met by 3, 4 SWAT members, or not SWAT members, but by the officials, whatever those guys were down there, they were collecting guns. I think
right.
the story might, and everybody in that house, all 5 or 6 guys, said, no, we're not going to do this. I dare say that things would have turned out a little bit differently, that they would not. I would say that they would probably have passed on that house. Now, if we do this in mass, stick together and unite, I think we have a chance. But if we
yeah.
stay divided and alone, you know what? We're not going to have a chance. And yeah, going out in a blaze of glory by yourself in a ditch,
you're going to get murdered. You're going to
yeah.
get killed, Doug.
Yeah.
That's the point here. And you know, if this gun control bill that Feinstein is pushing gets passed, I'm going to tell you something. What we need to do is peacefully, all of us, I don't care where you are, if you're in California and you support the Constitution, you got to go to D.C. We all have to go to D.C. and march peacefully with signs and say, we know what you're doing. We know that you are systematically, through United Nations orders, usurping the Constitution and destroying it by design. If we do that, then I think maybe Congress might consider that all of them won't have a job if they continue to do what they're doing. So I advocate peaceful revolution, just like what you guys do with your radio show. And all of us out there, every single person that's in chat, start a show on BTR. You can get a 30-minute show on BTR for free. Every one of us have to rise up quickly and say, no, we know what you people are doing. You're destroying our country by design. And we have to stand up peacefully through our words and say, Sadducees and Pharisees, because that's what we're facing today, guys, modern day Sadducees and Pharisees, you are whited sepulchers. On the outside, you confess and you seem so righteous, but on the inside, you're dead bones. And that's what I have to say tonight to you fellas. God bless you, Doug and Joe. I'm going to let somebody else come on. God bless your show. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ bless it. And people, donate. Give whatever you can to the Hagman & Hagman Report, because they are doing the work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth on this earth right now. It's called a peaceful information revolution. Alex Jones does it. You do it. Rick Wiles, True News, does it. I'm trying.
RPM.
I'm trying to do it.
Pastor Paul. We got so
yes.
many voices out there.
Amen, Joe.
We need more indeed, and everybody can do it. Everyone
yes.
who's listening to this show, as I always say, you know what? If you're listening to this show, you are part of the solution. You're a leader in your own sphere of influence. Use
Amen,
that
Doug.
Position.
And witness,
so
witness,
you
witness. Witness
yes.
whenever
yes.
you can, folks, because that's what the real information revolution is. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yahweh from heaven sent his son to die for us. By his blood, we are justified. And right now, a lot of us are standing up and saying, no, we know the powers that are leading our government. They're Luciferian. They are sacrificing children whenever they can to this demonic power. And I pray for this nation. I pray for it, because it's going down into the sewer. God bless you guys. Good night.
God bless, my friend.
Thanks, Jason.
Folks, so we're up against the top of the hour. We're going to get you, Sheila, on the other side, as well as other callers to the Hagman & Hagman Report. This, the second day of January 2013. Boy, how time flies.
There you go. You said it right. And when we come back, we're going to play a short audio clip of what Rand Paul said about this fiscal cliff deal. It's only 1 minute
yes.
and a couple seconds. I saw it flying around the internet, so I figured I'd grab it and
yeah,
put it up.
Yeah, if you haven't heard it, it's an interesting statement.
Yes, it is. We'll be right back after this. So listen to the Hagman & Hagman Report. As my dad said, the second Wednesday of 2013, our first show of the year, and it's what a show it's been.
Tomorrow, Stan Dale, by the way.
Yeah, video.
Video.
Us two and Stan, all on the same screen. It's going to be crazy. be right back.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
If you are stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a horologium nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
But you have to understand what the fiscal cliff is. You have to understand that the president is telling you that it's a cliff and it's bad, and everybody on television thinks it's terrible to go over the cliff. What is the cliff? Taxes going up. But if it's bad for taxes to go up for a bunch of people, why is it good for taxes to go up only on a small portion of people? You say, well, they're rich, they can afford it. Here's the problem. The rich pay most of the taxes in our country. The top 2% pay half of the taxes. So what you're saying is they're rich and they can absorb it, but that's half of the nation's income will have increased taxes. You will take money from the productive sector, which is the private sector, and you will put it into the non-productive sector, which is Washington. So if you want ditches to be dug and then to be filled up again, send more money to Washington. Now, Milton Friedman recognized this when he said, nobody spends someone else's money as wisely as you spend your own. That in a nutshell, that in one sentence, explains to you why the private sector is more efficient than the public sector. The public sector, it's not our money. It's not their money. So those of up here who will spend it, that's why they spend $1 trillion more than they have each year. That's why they break their own budgetary rules. That's why there's no budget. That's why we live in an era of runaway spending. That's why your government is insolvent. Your government is bankrupt. The one thing they've taken off the table is spending restraint. There will be no spending restraint. In fact, whatever deal comes out of here will increase spending. That's part of the deal. We're going to raise taxes and we're going to raise spending. Tell me what's good about that.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our final hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report, the first broadcast out of the shoot for 2013. I want to thank Keith Hansen from Keith on the Air. It's Keith Hansen from WGUF 98.9 out of Florida. He has a show every Saturday, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can listen to that online. I would urge everyone to do that. I got to tell you, he's a very articulate man, and he knows his position, and we've had some very interesting off-air conversations. He knows what he's talking about. But before we get to the phones, I just want to say this. I'm going to declare 2013 the year of action and awakening. And I think, Joe, that we have collectively addressed a lot of issues. And I'm going to bring our audience into this because, ladies and gentlemen, it's because of you, the core people, the people who have been with us, who have said, hey, take a look at this or take a look at that. Or, hey, here's something.
Yep.
You've educated us to such a great extent. We hope that we've been able to pass the same along to you, to where you, when you invest 3 hours with us, you get something out of it.
And I know we had Keith on for an extended period of time tonight, so I'm not going to be able to get to these tonight or tomorrow, but we got so many wonderful Christmas responses and New Year's responses, and I did want to read some of those on the air and address some people. I just want to thank everybody, whether it was on Facebook, whether it's text message, email, God bless you guys. It is so wonderful to see the family that is here.
But what we hope to offer is this. And as I always mention, we hope to offer that no matter how dark it gets and how hopeless it seems, and it will seem hopeless, I can promise you that, and how alone you feel, even if you're surrounded by people, and how hobbled and physically impaired you might be, that we will help you, God will help you. And I know that you will find that inner strength through your spiritual connection, your belief in God.
I have some scripture and some questions about that later if we have time to get into it, but we should take
right.
some calls.
Well, let's go back to the phones.
All right. We're going to go to Sheila. You've been on hold for a long time. We appreciate it. We're going to you first. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. Good show.
Thanks, Sheila. Sorry we couldn't get you on earlier.
Oh, no, don't apologize. It's been good listening. I read your article today, Doug, and to answer your question you just asked before you went to break, did you think we was ever going to have this conversation, I'd say 6 months ago? No. But after I got done reading your article, I went on, and in fact, I got my son Matt in here, and I went on and I signed that petition with the National Rifle Association. So that was the first thing I did today. And I want to send them money to help them do what they need to do. You know, that's my way of helping them. You know, what do you... Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, sure. The NRA is... is fighting in a certain manner. Now, some people I've read on some people saying, well, the NRA, they've lost their backbone. Others have said, well, I'm never going to contribute another time to the NRA. Others have said, well, no, they're taking the right approach. You know, we are in so much uncharted territory right
now.
Yeah,
as Keith said, they're labeled as, you know, the one of the most terrorist.
No, that's the Oath Keepers.
Oh, the Oath Keepers,
yeah.
Okay. Well, the NRA was labeled as what, like a Ku Klux Klan earlier?
Well, yeah.
Last year. I mean, they get their shots thrown at them.
Yeah, and I think that we, let's see.
I think they're on the Southern Poverty Law Center's top 10 terrorist organizations in the U.S.
Yeah, but Sheila, you're right, and I think that we all have to really choose sides, don't we?
Well, that's why I did it, because I wouldn't hesitate to go nose to nose, toes to toes with any of them, face to face. I'm not afraid of none of them. I'm not afraid of what's coming, because we got a guy that loves us, and he's got the ultimate plan here. But I will not bow, and I will not bend to any of them, period. I don't care who it is. The only thing, and I've got to be honest with you, the only thing that'll bring me to my knees is if our military or our local police officers comes banging on our door, then I'll drop to my knees with a broken heart because of betrayal.
And Sheila, let me pose this question to you, because something was said earlier when Keith was on. What if you might think they're local authorities or state authorities, but they're out-of-state authorities, maybe foreign soldiers that stay in the background? While
how would you know that?
Right.
I caught something when he was talking to That woman from France, I keep forgetting her name.
Yes, Constance. Yes, Constance.
Constance.
Right.
He made the comment. She was talking about international troops being in here, and he tried to make the comment that we're not used to that, and we're not. We're not used to that. We're not used to having to think about our cops coming on our, knocking on our door looking to get our weapon. I mean, it's the furthest thing from our minds. And the other night I went online looking for pepper spray. And never done it before. And I went on these different sites and whatnot. And all I could picture was myself shooting somebody in the face with something that I knew was going to hurt them. Why? Because I was thinking outside the box. It's difficult to wrap around something
that. Hey, Sheila? You're cutting out a little bit. A lot, actually. It sounds like we're losing you. Come on back.
You can do it.
Sheila, cutting out big time. If you want to call back,
yeah,
take your call.
Yeah, we have to, because we can't, while we're here, it's just blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. We're going to go to another call, then we'll come back to you if you're back on hold. Thanks, Sheila. We're going to go to John, Patriot John, host of Braveheart Radio, heard in our area Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. You can find the link on our website at homelandsecurityus.com. John, welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Very well, John. Welcome to the program. And for those listening, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, Saturdays, 6
to 9 yeah.
Eastern Time, Braveheart Radio.
I've already agreed to come on this Saturday, so you're coming
all right
with me.
Well, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, in the right-hand column is a banner for Braveheart Radio, of which this gentleman is one of the hosts.
It's a great show.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
The floor is yours. What's up?
Well, I want to kind of follow up on what Keith was talking about. He seems to think, and I like Keith, don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm just going to take a little issue with something that he said, in that he seems to be of the mind that there are going to be no resistors to the gun grab, and he uses Katrina as an example in that nobody fired a shot. Well, I can tell you and the listeners and Keith, with all due respect, we learned our lesson from Katrina, and that is not going to happen again. I can promise that.
Okay, now, John, one thing real quick. Let me just clear something up, having the benefit of having numerous off-air conversations with Keith. He believes there will be resistors, but not as many resistors, or not necessarily the same people who are, you know, have the beer muscles behind the keyboard kind of people.
And let me add to that. I think Keith is going through what so many of us are going through, this back-and-forth mind battle of what, you know, these walls are closing in around us.
Yeah.
Pretty soon we're not going to have too many options left.
Yeah, that's true.
And back and forth. I mean, I've been through that.
Yeah, but go ahead, John. I mean, I just wanted to make sure you knew that he does. Oh, he believes that there will be resistance, but not to the extent that maybe.
Well, if you go and check out some of the 3% sites, for those that don't know, 3%ers, they're a group of patriots that name themselves after the concept of the 3% that fought the first American Revolutionary War. These guys are ready. They're going to take no nonsense. And by the way, they're going to take no prisoners. They're just ready. They're not going to deal with this in any other way except what they believe is the way that it needs to be dealt with, which for better or for worse, that's what they think. And that is, now, those opinions aren't necessarily shared by me and my cohorts, but I think the level of resistance is going to be, in a word, extreme, honestly.
You know what? I have a tendency, after this latest display, I don't know whether you knew about this latest gun show here up in our area.
They actually did a write-up on it in the paper.
They called it a controversial gun show.
Open in arms. They're open to talking about gun legislation with the controversial gun show.
Yeah, but anyway, John, I got to tell you, the people that I talk to up here are saying, not now, not ever, and not with our guns.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you have it.
And that's basically the same thing I'm getting. And I was at the gun show this weekend. I went Saturday. Doug, I sent you an email. I don't know if you got it or got a chance to look at it. But I went for the very specific purpose of gauging the mood of the locals, as it were. And the mood of the locals is not good.
That's right.
The people in our area... And there were many more that were at the show that were not from our area. They traveled a great distance to come here. Resigned, I think, is a fair word to use. Resigned to the task at hand, and
right.
whatever that may entail. In other words, whatever's necessary. We're going to do it. So
I got a question, John. We talked earlier,
yeah,
before the show, just about the, you know, the Revolutionary War, the differences between then and now. What about these huge, deadly, unconventional weapons our military, the New World Order, has control of? How can we fight those? How can we fight, you know, Reaper drones? How can we fight these heat-seeking technologies and the whole nine that they have?
I don't know. I honestly don't have a good answer for that yet. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I've been talking to a few people. Go ahead.
Let me just chime in here, okay? Because if you watch the old war movies on television, and I know war is nothing like television, but, I mean, to me, if you can gain control over your enemy's one weapon of your enemy, and then two, then four, then six, you know, pretty soon you can grab You might be able to grab a larger, more formidable weapon, and then use that to grab another one, and then, you know, build from there. So a pistol or even a bayonet, I'm saying this in theory, could be used to expand your own personal arsenal if that ever became necessary.
I
wouldn't discount that.
The weapons of war, as it were, are going to be plentiful, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But I think everybody can
right.
can get the gist of what I'm saying. As far as battling the high tech stuff, I mean, let's face it, we're not going to outrun a drone. We're not. The only thing we can hope to do is find a way to bring them down. And there's some people out there that are technologically savvy that are probably working on that very problem as we speak.
Yeah,
so,
and I hold not much hope, but a small bit that our United States Armed Forces will do their job.
I don't
count on that.
Ruffle their oats, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Go
ahead, John.
About the armed forces and the National Guard and local and state law enforcement, I got to believe that their reaction to anything hitting the fan is going to be, screw the badge, I'm going home to protect my family, which makes them an indirect ally of ours.
Right.
But what were you going to say, Doug? Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of on that same line, too, though. Let's go with that thought. I do believe in the moral consciousness of people, some people, not all people, but some people. And I believe that there's perhaps more rhetoric on the other side than there is. Okay, you mentioned you attended the gun show this weekend. One thing you said, and I felt the same thing, this quiet but resolute, I guess quiet would be the key word, resolute another key word, versus the boisterous, we're coming after your guns, ha-ha, leftist progressive mindset, where they say, well, you only have your gun, is just you're compensating for your lack of male, you know what I'm talking about, okay, without
Absolutely.
Being gross or, you know.
Right, no,
so,
people say that a lot.
Yeah, you know, so I guess what I'm saying is, there's rhetoric on both sides, but there's also this quiet, resolute, boy, I really don't want to be here kind of attitude. But if you bring the battle to me, I'm not going to back down. And that's on the part of the
good guy. Exactly, yeah. That is exactly it. You've said it perfectly. The left, the libs, the progressives, the communists, whatever you want to call them, I call them just the enemy. They're jumping up and down and parading their intentions in front of all of us. And those of us that are the target are being quiet. We're laying low. We're finishing up our preps, and we are stealing our resolve. And just like you said,
well, John,
we don't want this.
I gotta,
if you're going to bring it to us, bring it.
I have to tell you this because, in fact, I didn't see your email. I got a new anti-spam email thing, and I don't know what it's set at. It must be set at, like, nuke everything. But anyway, I got to say this. I had a conversation with somebody who knows pretty much, you know, that things are going to hit the fan, who told me, he said, look, they are going to take out some people. Trust me when I tell you this. The people that they feel are causing problems, they feel that are threatening to them, and this is exactly what Steve Quayle said, exactly what Greg Evenson said, they're going to take them out. So, folks, understand this. I mean, it's real. This is not fun and games. They will take people out.
No doubt in my mind whatsoever.
And that was said by somebody who knows.
What's that?
That was said to me by somebody who was in the know.
If for no other reason than to make an example, we are the Fed. Resistance is futile, and we will take care of you if we deem it necessary. So yes,
I was also told too that if you have 100 rounds, you will have an arsenal, according to the paper, or according to the news.
Well, I'm in trouble then.
Or if you have two weapons, you'll have a cachet of weapons. Or if you have certain household cleaners, you will have bomb-making materials. And that's how you will be portrayed.
And let me add something here, though.
Everybody's got a meth lab in their house. But go on, Joe. I'm sorry.
I actually forgot what I was going to say. But,
I'm sorry, man.
No, the other side of the story here, you know, like we talked about earlier, we have to know what the Lord wants us to do. Even each individual person is delegated a different plan if you are following the Lord. God has a plan for your life if you are in His book of life. And if you are in His book of life, He does have a plan for you. So you don't, I mean, we put all the stock into, and I just got back what I was thinking. We're sitting here, RPG, this and that. Can we make this? Can we make that? I think we're losing focus on the bigger picture of where we really need to look for the answer.
Well, this is spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual war.
Right. But, I mean, for those tuning into tonight's show maybe for the first time, we haven't really got into that part, but I don't want to take away from John's time.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, John. So what are you thinking here? What are your thoughts now on this day, the first full work day, so to speak, of 2013? How soon do you see things happening? Are we on the overdrive now? Are we in an overdrive right now?
Well, yeah. The agenda is definitely moving forward in leaps and bounds. The gun ban thing, straight from the horse's mouth, meaning our illustrious dear leader, is going to be a top priority. I'm going to reserve judgment on whether it will pass through Congress. The Senate is a lock, no doubt. The House, I'm not so sure of. If he can't do it legislatively, then certainly he's going to, via executive order, issue all kinds of new rules and regulations that the BATF is going to have to enforce try to enforce. But there's another angle that I just discovered yesterday, I think it was, and on the possibility that I didn't think of, and maybe no one else has. I read in a blog post that there's a possibility that the Republicans in the House will allow the legislation in some form to go through in order to gain political capital for 2014. If that is the case, this particular blogger, he's going to go dark and he's going to take action. You draw your own conclusions as to what that means. But there is that possibility.
Well, I think we can read between the lines there, but once again, I think that people are thinking within the box of normalcy, the normalcy bias. I frankly, I don't see, John, where we've got, I can't even see at this point where we can even cite political parties at this point. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It's not even conservative versus progressive. It's survivalist versus those people who want to take us over, kill us, and turn our country
into a barbecue. To put it very simply, and to bolster your point, it's us versus them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's as it is in heaven. It is. I mean, well, we're as it is above, so it is on earth. In other words, to me, there's a war, spiritual war going on, as well as this mortal terrestrial war taking place as well. And I think we've got to realize that too. You know, so. But we're right where we're supposed to be, I believe. Everyone listening, we're right where we're supposed to be. We have to play our positions. We have to play them well. We have to do what we've been appointed to do, been selected to do. And you know, we got to man up. We got to live up to exactly what we're supposed to be doing right now. And whether it's hosting a talk show or carrying the water, you know, or anything else.
And I wholeheartedly agree, and I feel that I am... I feel I am exactly where I need to be and doing the things that I need to be doing.
Sure.
It's very, a little bit scary in that, I've never felt such a strong sense of purpose in my entire 45 years as I do right now. And I have for the last couple of years. I really believe I am where I need to be, and I'm doing what I need to be doing. And that only comes from one place. And I just think that God has my life and my plan mapped out, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do according to His word and His will.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
So.
And we have to stick together. We have to be united, stick together, or hang separately, as they say. And I've got no intention of swinging by my lonesome. So
got
we're
your
gonna,
back,
we're,
my friend.
We will. And us yours. So with that, my friend, God bless you and take care.
God bless you guys.
We'll
God bless
in.
The listeners. And everybody stay safe.
All right, brother.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
And we'll see you Saturday.
Yes. And folks, that's one thing that if there's nothing else that you could take from this program tonight, just take away the knowledge, the inherent knowledge that you're not alone.
That's right.
Okay, because even if you feel alone, you know, think of that the footsteps prose, you know, that's when I carried you, when you saw one set of footsteps. You know,
in Mark, chapter 8, we'll start with 33. It says, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory of his Father with the holy angels."
It's a good passage. Very good passage. I just want to add this one more thing. We are fighting a war on a global scale. We are fighting lies every day. Every time you turn on your television set, every time you hear a politician open their mouth, every time you look at a news article in print, you are looking at something that you've got to discern the truth from. And we intend to help you do that. But the important thing here is to realize that this battle has been planned for so long. And it is a spiritual battle. And we can find many answers within the scriptures. And we need, in our rucksack, we need a Bible, along with any weapon, the weapon of our choice, of our what we have. But we need that. We need the Word of God and the spiritual armor of God to fight this. Because without that, we're not going to be we're not going to do well. And understand that this is purely good versus evil fight, and they have come prepared.
Yes, they have. With that, we're going to go to Michael, who's been patiently waiting on hold. Thanks for waiting. Michael, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing again? This has been an awesome show, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on.
Okay, I wanted to address just one thing. This is a very emotionally charged topic. And I think we've all entertained the thoughts of the unthinkable actually happening. I think that everybody has a minor portion, but a piece of fear, a piece of real fear as these pieces continue to unfold. But what I've heard no one say is that the same process has happened before. Different methods, yes, but it has happened before. Now, this is on the outside of any tactical side. This is a spiritual side. I had a discussion this morning, and we were talking about Egypt and the Israelites. Well, all the bad things that happened to the Israelites were for the Israelites. And this was the case in many different tribes in the Bible. Now, the same process is happening to us. Who can honestly say they would have been prepared for anything unless Obama would not have gotten elected? Things wouldn't have started going downhill. Nobody would have woke up. Everybody was, things are going to get better. We're going to do good. We can relax for a little while. We have time, right? But as soon as Obama gets elected, our new, for comparison's sake, a Pharaoh-type figure, right? We've woken up, and it's kind of scary, just like the Israelites were. Now, what was the next step that happened to them, though? They got woke up. They were delivered. They woke up. They were delivered. They crossed the Red Sea. They were in a neutral boundary where nobody could harm them. What's the first thing they started to do? They started looking backwards, right? They started coming up with excuses. Well, we had it better back then than we do now. The problem was this. They wouldn't move forward. They made plans. They did everything. There were armies that they couldn't fight. They knew they couldn't fight them. They discussed that topic, too, just like we're doing today. But the one thing we have to remember is this. There is a power that exists in Christ. And believe me, I said it before. I've used it. We can't forget that. We can make plans for survival, but we have to remember that if that time should arise, our plans are already made for us. We're to be mindful of it, yes. We're to stay prepared, yes. Do everything we can do in our power. But concerning actions, I was talking to a guy in the chat room, your instincts take over. For a believer, the Holy Spirit will take over. But there are a lot of people who are doing just they're doing just what they planned. Listen, I hear the Democrats saying, what we need to do is cause a revolution in the street so that we can take the guns away, right? Then you have the other side saying, what we need to do is cause a revolution so that we can tell them that taking the guns away are wrong. Now, do you guys really think that's not orchestrated?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely orchestrated.
Yeah, they have, like you said, contingency plans and contingency plans for those plans for every scenario.
Right.
What's your point, though, Mike? I mean, yeah, does that mean that because it's orchestrated that we should not fall into that trap, or it's orchestrated that we're going to fall into it regardless, or what are you trying to say here?
No, I'm trying to say it's only a trap if we function out of the flesh, if we function within our own mindset.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
If we function within our own, we can easily forget that, first and foremost, this is, everybody can tell you that something in their gut changed when this guy was elected. Something in their gut, something is telling every single person something is wrong. And so now it seems like our Father said, okay, guys, wake up. You know, wake up. This is it. This is the real world right here. This is what's about to happen. So I'm trying to prepare you. It's almost like the it's starting to drizzle back in the days of Noah. And some people saw the drizzle and they said, oh, it's just drizzle. And they, what did they do? They modified their way of life to accommodate the new drizzle. So it started raining heavier, and what did they do? They continued to modify, but only a few were getting in, were building and getting inside the ark. But the rest were modifying until they ran out of ground. The dam burst, and then they found out they were dying. That same thing is happening now, but if we get so consumed in emotion and self and anger and all these other things, we get detracted from the real thing that's going on. Because the one guy you guys were talking about, drones, you can't fight a drone. Who can fight a drone
right.
that, you know, 20 miles away and can hit a bedroom if it wants to? Who can do that? Nobody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no choice but to depend on another power. We can't do it ourselves this time. And there's, I hate to say it, there's not enough people that are going to stick together to make a decision. Because like you said, they're going to fall off. You know, you're going to be left alone standing there. And all I'm saying is we can't forget the spiritual side. That really has to stay first and foremost. And yes, people are angry and everything else, but we cannot feed into self. We can't have we can't viciously attack our opponent with his own weapons, you know.
No, I think that what I'm hearing, and I think I agree with you 100% on this, is we have to put on the spiritual armor of God, because only God can protect us when we are that outnumbered. And we have to think about, like you brought up with the Israelites, and you know going back in time, where there were miracles that happened. I mean, and think too back in the 73 war when the Egyptian tanks kind of overrun the Israeli position, but didn't, because they saw this mirage of tanks. Well, that had to be a divine intervention. So we will see miracles happen as this whole process unfolds, but only if we are armored or cloaked with the armor of God, I believe. And so I think if I'm hearing you right, that's what we have to trust in the Lord, and as we do, we go about it, you know. Yeah. So okay, I got you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're on the same
page. And then one last tactical point. Now, in the Army War College, when an enemy is about to be taken out, the very first step is to partition your enemies. You have to segment your enemy. That's step number one. Step number two is take out their leaders without the people knowing. That's step number two. So one by one, leaders get picked off. But the people are not to know this. Not until it gets down to the lower and lower man. Now, when it's down so far that people do notice, well, that's when you send in the ground troops. But I think the phase we're in now, very real phase we're in now, is a picking off of leaders. Now, I just can't see a face-off. I don't see that. What I do see is people turning against people. Now, ask yourself this. Why would they expend all that force, right, when they have gauged the reaction of these happenings that have been going on TV, causing a deeper divide? Why would they expend their own energies when people will do it themselves?
That's a very good point. That's an extremely good point, because our enemies use the energy very much like martial arts. You know, the opponent uses the other opponent's energy against them, and there you have it. So why not allow for the culling of the herds among the infighting first, soften up the enemy before they can come in? So that, plus what you said as well, taking out certain heads, indeed will be a big part of this. So yeah, and so we have to think asymmetrically. Plus, don't forget as well, and I'll bring this up, the psychological component that we face right now, because we are really right now, this is a pretty heavy topic. This is heavy duty stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, yeah. Wow, man, you know. So the normal mental wear and tear, if you will, that this brings, and the angst. Well, look,
yeah,
we can replace that by our belief in God, and God's got a plan for us. So I think you're spot on in everything you said.
Yeah, that's it, guys. That's our trust and our faith. Just like your son read that scripture, it's a very important scripture. And it's going to come down to a choice. Are we going to do it the way it was already established for us? If we work within the way we're designed to work, we'll be good. If we deviate, you know, we're Satan's fish bait, basically. And it seems like it's slowly manifesting.
It's very, very
okay, guys,
true,
that
friend.
Was it. That
my
was
pleasure.
It for tonight. I appreciate you guys. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Michael.
You know, folks, it's something that we can see what's taking place here. We can see the state-sponsored indoctrination of our children.
Yeah.
We can see the various plans.
It's all implemented. It's all being carried out, and it's in its final phases.
Yeah.
I mean, how many more graduating high school classes can be, you know, sold the idea of globalism and communism and capitalism doesn't work. As we see now, the tables have shifted to where the majority of Democrats believe in communism and socialism.
Well, yeah, everything's shifted so far to the left that it's unrecognizable.
Right, and some news we didn't get into today. Just a few things I want to mention. There was a good write-up on this one site, 8 Striking Parallels Between the U.S. and the Roman Empire. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, I have. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, staggering increase in the cost of elections with dubious campaign funding sources. This one. 2, politics as the road to personal wealth.
Right.
3, continuous war. A national state of secretary arises, distracting attention from domestic challenges. 4, foreign powers lavish money, attention on the republic's leaders. 5, profits made overseas shape the republic's international policies. 6, collapse of a middle class. 7, I don't even know how you do this, gerrymandering. 8, loss of the spirit of compromise.
Right.
And I'll put the link in the chat room for them.
Yeah.
And we can go back to calls.
Well, one more thing, too. So I want to alert you to a situation. I wrote about, I think it was on Sunday, I think it might have been on Sunday. It's on HomelandSecurityUS.com. This is something we're following. I want to bring your attention to this because I think this is extremely important, and I think you need to know about this. In Canada, it was on... There's a Canadian passenger train traveling from Vancouver, British Columbia, to Toronto, Ontario. There were 4 people who got sick, one of which died. An 86-year-old woman died. Again, this was they left on Christmas Day from Vancouver, British Columbia, with the ultimate destination of Toronto. 4 people were occupying 2 cars aboard this train. 1 86-year-old woman died. 3 were sickened and hospitalized.
We talked about this
yes.
in our brief conversations this week.
Yes, we did. About 5 o'clock in the morning on this past Saturday, the train made an unscheduled stop at a station located near Parry Sound, Ontario, because of the death of one of the passengers. Well, I certainly want to thank one of our listeners, Ivan, who lives up in that area, for alerting us to the story. Well, upon checking on this and some further information that I have not written about or spoken about publicly, but so you're hearing this here first, credible information I have substantiated, but I can't provide you with names or anything. You just have to take my word for it. There was a substance on this train that was left in the area of those two cars. Now, I'm not talking about like a bag or something. I'm talking about residue. It was either a chemical or a biological agent. I don't know which one, but it was one or the other, and it sickened the four people. It was left by the previous passenger occupying the same two cars as these four who were sickened. So we're not talking about a big substance. We're talking about a little bit of something. It's my understanding that wherever this was, it was accidentally, left there. It wasn't cleaned up. It was left there, and they were exposed to it, and hands got sick. And, of course, the elderly suffered the most and passed away from this. The authorities, I asked for a comment. I contacted, I think it was on Sunday, I contacted OPP and asked for a comment on this, and I got nowhere with the Ontario Provincial Police. But the bottom line is the informal information I've got, or the information I have, is the fact that there was something being transported. They did quarantine those two cars, and they did separate them and sterilize them. They sent in the equivalent of a biohazmat or a hazmat team, cleaning team, into those two cars. What it was, where it went, and who it was transported by, we don't know.
We do have another report. I don't know if you saw this, where I think it was out of Iran. They talked about creating, or maybe it wasn't Iran, it was one of the Middle Eastern countries, creating a new kind of pathogen, 8 different types of pathogens.
Yeah,
whether that's true or not. There's also an evacuation in Iran near a nuclear plant where it said that possibly 2 drones were shot down, American drones, that there is a 500,000 to 1.5 million people being evacuated from a nuclear plant in Iran, which is something very interesting, as, I don't know what their nuclear capabilities are, but I don't know. And then this most disturbing article, tsunami bomb. I don't know if you guys saw this. This was tested off the New Zealand coast. So the U.S. and New Zealand conducted a secret test of a tsunami bomb. This bomb is designed to destroy coastal cities by using underwater blasts to trigger massive tidal waves or tsunamis. So they are developing weapons of mass destruction that will, look at what happened at these huge tsunamis along the coastal lines. That's where most of the people live. What is the East Coast, like on the coast, has, I don't know, what percent of the population?
It would just be a total devastation against any nation, because that's where, as you mentioned, the majority of the population lives. And of course, the vulnerability to our coastal cities is amazing. So to even think about weapons like this, of course, we're talking about weapons, too, that we already have, and I was told if we knew, if we really knew the types of weapons we had, that this is the stuff of science fiction. Well, of course it is. But that's a topic for another day. In fact, we're going to bring up some things for Stan Deo tomorrow. Folks, if you want, go ahead and email me, director@homelandsecurityus.com. Just go to homelandsecurityus.com, click on my name on any one of the articles.
We want to
send me a message with a question for Stan Deo.
And what we're going to be talking about is earth changes, these sinkholes we've been seeing pop up.
And I'll tell you what, I know that's what you want to talk about.
The Illuminati.
I want to talk, man, I got some serious questions about the Illuminati, because in his book, Cosmic Conspiracy, Stan Deo really gets into the Illuminati.
And I believe when you hear, I think you have the right questions formulated.
I do. I really think I do.
I think when you hear what he has to say, I think it's going to push you along in the right direction.
Well, you know what, folks? It's like this. And I know Donna had mentioned about Islam and Islamberg and whatever. The one thing I've learned, and I believe this to be 100% true, is, and no one's really talking about this, is the three monotheistic religions right now are being pitted against each other. That's the, you know, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. To such an extent where this...
Call Islam a religion?
Well...
I'm kidding.
Yes. Yes, but for the purposes of this discussion...
No, I know. No, because you're right.
You know, but what's going to happen is the plan is to eradicate all three monotheistic religions and replace it with a religion that is more workable to the New World One Global Governance. See, and to me, that makes sense. Because they're demonizing Islam, they're attacking Christianity and attacking Judaism. So,
right. Like you said, they redefine marriage instead of protecting.
Right.
They redefine what the social norms are instead of keeping God and what made us prosperous in school.
And see, and I'll talk to Stan about this tomorrow, because when you take a few steps back and look, and here's what I've discovered, is this monetary crisis we face, well, who's going to come in and pick up the pieces? When the U.S. dollar collapses, who's going to pick up the pieces? Who's going to come in with a new monetary system? Where does this all trace back to? It traces back to London. It traces back to the British Empire.
I think further than that, too.
Well, yeah, but in this case, this global dominance is going to be implemented by the British Empire, and the banking system, the economic system, is going to be controlled through a 1 square mile area out of the British Commonwealth, and making us once again the subject of the British Empire. And if that's the case, and that's why I wrote about Michael Savage too on CanadaFreePress.com, and then my website is, you take Michael Savage, who's banned from going to Great Britain, where does that put Michael Savage? Because he's a terrorist as far as Great Britain is concerned, and so are others in the United States. And what's that going to do to people here in the United States? Or Canada, or Mexico, or wherever? You see, it's all interconnected. They all tie together. And everything, rather than watch the skirmishes, the football games, the minor games. Look at the big picture. Look beyond the stadium, as I wrote. Look beyond the stadium, outside of the football. Everyone's watching the football game.
Yeah,
it's not the football game. It's what's happening outside the stadium that we gotta look at. And that, to me, is where the answers are in terms of the terrestrial aspects of the war we're fighting. And you know, this war goes back millennia.
This war goes back to the beginning of time.
That's right. And it's about, and when you really get into the Illuminati, you get into bloodlines, you get into this holy cow stuff, and it's like really mind blower. But you know what? It's not what we believe. It's not as important. It's what they believe. And if they believe they're the anointed ones, or that they, the Illuminati, or the people that control things, believe that they are the bloodline of Jesus who never died on the cross because he had children and offspring and whatever. As Christians, of course, we don't believe that. But if they believe it, then I guess that's what's important. So that's what this is all about. And so the larger picture, see, but no one will touch it. Because
we're getting torn apart by the, yeah. I mean, look at the Sandy Hook thing. There is inconsistencies there. There are problems.
Man, are there.
But are they planted or are they real? I mean, do we have time to worry about
this? Well, I think we have the time. And I think we have to focus there, Joe. But
that's what we need to focus on, the Lord, what he wants for us to do for him, because we have no purpose on this earth other than God's plans for us in our life.
Well, right, but if you listen to that direction and guidance, you'll know.
Exactly, because if we don't, we cannot enter heaven, you know, alone. Can be sinners.
Well, of course, but...
And enter heaven as long as we turn from our sin. and turn to God. Jesus made a way for us to be forgiven, and if we find that way, we will be, and we need to stick to it and follow it, and that is really the only answer we ever have.
Well,
the only 100% answer we know is true.
Well said. Well, folks, you've expended another 3 hours of your life, and I want to thank you very much for doing so, for believing in us.
All those that didn't get a chance to call in today, we'll have open phone lines Friday for 2 hours, I guess, because we've been gone a while. We'll have a guest tomorrow, and then it'll be Friday already. So.
Yes, and Stan Dayo, it's going to be a wonderful time with him tomorrow. Be sure to tell others and tune in live and send your questions if you want to me, and I'll make sure Stan gets on ahead of time.
God bless each and every one of you. We'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. live on video. At Christians United Broadcasting Network, Homeland Security US, the number 1.tk, or you can just listen live and hear us the whole show here. Thank each and every one of you for joining us on this fantastic first episode of the year. Couldn't have went better. Keith Hansen, a tremendous guest. If you joined us late, go back and listen to the archive because you're not going to want to miss the first hour and a half.
Have a good night, everyone.